The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
The quarterback. Two receivers lined up to the left, one to the right. There's a flanker lined up to the left behind the quarterback.
Oh, now, yeah.
He gives the ball, though. He doesn't get the ball. The receiver goes all the way over there to the left. Once the quarterback has the ball, he fakes to the left. No, he fakes to the right. He doesn't fake. He thinks about fake. He pretends to fake.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's not like you could use a shower. Oh, listen, you can think what you want about my personal hygiene, but please don't waste any water. That's bad policy.
Paul Perillo.
So that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.
And Andy?
There, girl, you're seeing.
Seeing? I see a lot of girls. I see a lot of guys, too.
I think that's sexy. You ever been with a guy and a girl at the same time?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times. The other night, I was with my mama and Coach Klein at the same time.
Andy Hart.
And I like Vicky, and she likes me back. And she showed me her boobies, and I like them too.
Eric Scalavino.
I want you to think about all those mean people. They're going to be your tackling fuel.
Tackling fuel.
We're going to use them to play football.
Tackling fuel.
For now, anyway.
Ooh, I'm a football player.
Coach, I'd like to tackle him right now.
Not yet.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh, no! We suck again!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The Buccaneers are in town, and the first joint practice just finished up on the Gillette Stadium practice field. The boys will be here any moment, Andy, Paul, and Eric. They're just getting done with player availability, and that's wrapping up. So they should be here any moment. But as I said, Patriots and Buccaneers went at it today on the practice field, and we'll get a complete report once the guys get back here. Obviously, last Friday, the Patriots had their first preseason game, so we'll talk about that and, of course, the new broadcast format that Andy and Paul were part of, so we'll get your reviews on that. I'm sure everyone loved their portion of it. So far, I'm hearing a lot of different things about it. Some people liked it, some people didn't. Some people, you know, let it keep going because it's new and see how it will evolve. So we'll talk about all of that here on PFW in Progress. Later start today, so sorry if we inconvenienced you, but the team moved the practice from 2 o'clock to 11 o'clock because of a storm coming in. So they wanted to get the first day in at least under good, you know, conditions. So they changed it to 11. We changed our show to 2. We'll be here until 4 o'clock. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 508-298-0398. And toll-free, 855-PATS-500. What do you got, Kevin?
Nothing. I was just looking. Darrell Revis was live from outside.
Oh, okay.
So, Sal Pal Adam.
All right. So, I'm sure we're going to get a bunch of stuff on patriots.com later. Let's see. 9 plus... at least 16 Rutgers guys were on the field today. Pretty amazing to have that many players from one college on the football field at the same time. So they had a little bit of reunion there, though I think they're going to have a barbecue out back later for the alumni. So while we wait for Andy, Paul, and Eric, let me give you my thoughts on the game Friday night. I think it was a great start for the Patriots. I think when you talk about the receivers, which was the big question going in, there's no answers yet. This is just one game. Brady played a couple series, so we're not really getting that much out of anything yet. Both teams were pretty vanilla in what they were showing on offense and defense. But I think it was a positive start for a guy like Tompkins who, you know, was where he was supposed to be. And when the ball was thrown to him, he caught it. I don't think you can ask for much more in the first preseason game. In terms of Amendola, limited action, did what he had to do. Now, Dobson, 7 targets, only 2 catches. We're going to have to see more out of him. in order to come up with any conclusions going into the regular season. Way too early to tell. And Boyce, I think if he hadn't been overthrown on that play where he broke free in the end zone, I think we'd be, you know, talking a little bit more about Boyce today. But again, really, there's no data to really make a conclusion on him after preseason game one. Defense, yeah, again, same old story. I didn't see a lot of pressure on quarterbacks. So, you know, we're not seeing anything there. And, of course, we had the touchdown over Tlaib's head to DeSean Jackson. That's going to happen, but we hate seeing that happen right off the bat. So, you know, still too early to tell anything from the defense. I think individual players, Bernard flashed a little bit. I think that was good. I think Wilfork had a decent game. Jones was around the quarterback, even though he didn't have a sack. I think he showed some things. You know, but when you get to the secondary, you had Dennard out, you had McCourty out, you had Razi Dowling out. So, you know, it's kind of too hard to tell. It's too hard to tell what that's going to look like once things, you know, settle in for the regular season. So we want to get to game two, which is this Friday against the Buccaneers, to get some more data to be able to make some more conclusions. But, you know, I think overall it was a decent outing for the Patriots preseason game one. And as I was speaking, Eric ran in. Hey, Eric.
How you doing, Freddie?
Good.
Sorry to leave you alone for a few minutes.
That's okay.
Player availability is running still a little bit long out there.
Yeah.
Practice went a little long with the Bucs today, first day.
Yeah.
Practice with them. Very exciting. A little sloppy, though.
Really?
A little sloppy. A lot of balls hitting the ground, a lot of drops, a lot of fumbles. Guys can't really. It was, should mention, a steady sort of a, not really a drizzle, but like a little like piddly kind of rain.
Misty.
Not really, yeah, a little misty, a little raindrops.
What's so, in the middle of drizzle and mist?
Piddle, right? Isn't that
piddle?
Piddly, right?
Dristy?
Yeah.
Dristy.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Dristy, yeah.
Okay.
So it was a little bit of a sloppy effort overall, I'd say.
Yeah.
But full pads, so it was still, you know, a lot more excitement than yesterday's practice, which was just the shells,
yeah,
uppers.
Attendance for the Patriots?
Attendance
anybody back
for the Patriots? Yes, Marcus Cannon.
Okay.
Was back.
Yeah.
But we'll trade one guy for a guy who left, Brandon Spikes.
Oh.
Did not see him all practice.
Oh, boy. And yeah. Now he got shook up in the game a little bit.
I think
remember?
I saw him at one point, yeah.
He was on all fours.
Yeah.
And got up slowly.
Right. Yeah. So, but he was there yesterday.
Yeah.
And taking part. So that's a little bit of a strange one. With, I mean, you never really can tell with him when it comes to that kind of stuff, though.
One thing I've noticed about Brandon Spikes is if he goes down, he's hurt. He you know, and that's not a good thing. I'm not saying that, oh, you know, he only goes down when he's really
like,
hurt.
Not like one
it
of these
seems
guys.
Seems like any time he has anything go wrong, he misses time.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
As opposed to a guy like Kyle Arrington, who gets
right
knocked out, like even in the middle of a game, he'll look like he's done, and
right
then two plays later, he's back on the field.
Right,
yeah,
right, right. Anytime he has anything go wrong, he's out and it misses time. And, I it's a problem with me. So he was out.
He was out.
Cannon was back in.
Cannon was back in. Didn't really do a hell of a lot, obviously, his first day back in almost 2 weeks. But he was out there. That's a positive sign.
I mean, Will Svitek might be better than him at this point.
A lot of, yeah. Oh, I think Svitek is doing very well.
Yeah.
For a guy who was a tackle, having to change and play guard, a different position, different technique, different
right
assignments, he's done very well.
It's not even like he's moving right next door. He's going from left tackle. He did this in
right
the game. He actually
started right guard
and moved over to left tackle, which is a whole different thing.
Yeah.
And did well.
He did.
Yeah.
I think he is now a lock to make this team. I mean, after just one preseason game and only, you know,
right
3 weeks of camp, I think he's done enough to prove that he's like one of those versatile backup guys that, you know, in a pinch could start.
Mm-hmm.
And he might even be, who knows, he might even be better than what they had going there.
Well, he might be better than Connolly. Who
That's
knows?
What I mean.
Yeah.
And Connolly is still out there but not really doing anything.
Yeah.
Same with a guy like Kevin Haslam, Tyrone Green. Those guys have all been hurt, which is why
right
Svitek has been able to play right guard. But those guys are back. Most of them came back yesterday, which is an encouraging sign, at least from a health perspective. But
not
they're not
really
doing
anything. So what about Dowling? Wasn't out there.
Was out there, but not really doing anything. Same Dennard. Thing with Dennard. They were out there in uniform, but spectators, basically.
So they're not no contact for those guys yet.
No.
Okay.
McCourty's still with the red jersey.
Okay.
So he's out there, full pads, taking part. He's lining up. He's lining up when they go 11-on-11 or 7-on-7, and he's going full speed, but obviously not making any contact with anyone. And and most of the players aren't either. To be fair, I mean it's not like you know, it's not like the old days where they're really doing a lot of hitting.
Right. You know, so the Patriots didn't feel comfortable putting him in the game for real contact.
No,
but he's okay for this type of half speed contact.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So he's, you know, he's getting the reps. He's also today switching a lot from corner to safety. Multiple times. We've seen that in some practices where he's spent the majority of his time at one position or the other. But today he was going back and forth on a regular basis.
So I was out doing stuff all over the place, and I was on the concourse, and they had the practice up on the big board. And the one time I glanced up, Tebow was doing a drill. I think it was 11-11 red zone, and it might have been the last play of 11-11. Holding.
Did he do the 360 spin?
Puts it down and starts running, and Belichick blows the whistle and ends the drill.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the only thing I saw, was him not making a decision.
Yeah, and that's become a frustrating thing to watch with him, is that he just he takes too long to decide what he wants to do, and then at the end, the pockets collapsed, and he has no other choice.
He doesn't have the confidence in his own arm and decision that, you know, I see this guy going on his route, and, you know, I know he's going to come free in 2 seconds, throw the ball. He wants to have the guy wide open when he throws it, and it just doesn't happen in the NFL that way.
But he, you know, every 5 or 6 passes, he'll throw a great tight spiral down the field. That's his best pass.
Yeah.
It's like the 30-plus yard pass downfield. He connects on those more often than not.
Well,
it's
the 50-50 balls type
thing. Yeah, but he connects on those.
Yeah.
That's his best pass.
Well, so that was going on. I lost my train of thought.
Well, Darrell Revis was out there today too. Spoke extensively afterwards to members of the media. But the guy that I was impressed with most on the Bucs side of things today was Vincent Jackson. Nobody could cover him.
Really?
Yeah, he was catching everything, getting open. Big bodied guy, you know.
Yeah.
Impressive out
there.
Who
was on him? Was Tlaib on
him? Tlaib was on him you know, most of the time that I saw him, but he was getting open.
And who was throwing,
Freeman? Freeman, yeah.
Okay.
Who has great zip on the ball.
Yeah.
Freeman does, yeah.
Okay. And Paul and Annie just walked in with plates of food, which is great. Mm. I haven't eaten all day.
Oh, we got chicken there, guy? Wow.
So what else was noticeable out there? Tempo, was it the same as down in Philly?
I think it was decidedly slower than in Philly.
Okay.
And it might have been because of the rain and the sloppiness a little bit, but I certainly thought there was a crispness more to the Philly practices than there was to today. But they've practiced with the Bucs before. They have that familiarity. They maybe were working on different things than they wanted to with Philadelphia. It was certainly a newer experience for the Eagles.
Yep.
So that might have contributed to it a little bit. There were no real shoving matches or fisticuffs like we saw in the first practice last week. And that's probably, you know, they probably got the message about that.
Okay.
I thought the Patriots receivers had a pretty decent day overall. They did drop several passes. Some catchable, some were just bad throws. But, you know, a guy like Dobson, who everyone is really high on right now, I thought he had a decent day. He was getting open. He was making some catches in, you know, like he has been all camp, tough catches with guys draped on him. But he was also getting open a little bit more today than I've seen him in the past, is, you know, running crisper routes and getting just a yard or two separation, but enough that he could make the catch pretty cleanly.
All right.
Early on, he owned Jonathan Banks.
Okay.
And Banks came back a little late, but it was a good rookie matchup there.
Yeah, up-and-down day, I thought, for him. I thought, just like Andy said, the first 3 or 4 times, one-on-ones, killing. And that's a good match. I mean, that's 2 high draft picks, rookies, looking to make their way, and I thought he was dominant. And then during the team period, it totally flipped. I thought Banks killed him in the team period. And he had a really, really bad Lee Evans-like drop in the team period where he had the ball.
Over
and
the
then
middle, yeah.
A couple of guys were around him, and he just dropped it. You know, just
so was it pass defense?
I would call it a drop, but I know a lot of people like to call those pass defense.
All right, so you guys just got here. Let's take a moment. We'll take a break so we can get a little bit settled here. And we come back. We got a lot of emails. People want to talk about the broadcast and the game. So we'll get into that when we come back.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down to 65 odd megabits per second available.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket, the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you always get the best seats at the best prices, all with Ace Ticket's 200% guarantee. Ace Ticket has your seats to all the games, including Yankees tickets starting at $59. Ace Ticket has your seats to all of this summer's hottest concerts. It's so easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
With power comes responsibility, and NRG has taken that responsibility to new heights by evolving the way sustainable energy is discussed and used in the 21st century. With 3,000 state-of-the-art solar panels installed at Patriot Place, we've transformed the open-air retail complex next to Gillette Stadium into a visually stunning, self-sustaining destination that generates 60% of its own power. NRG is proud to be the official energy provider for Patriot Place, Gillette Stadium, and the New England Revolution.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
From the photos Andy was telling me about.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sterger photos available, see why Favre was after her,
but
online. I'd be dialing it up
tonight.
Matter
of fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, Ian from Michigan writes in, hey, guys, good to see the Pats put together some decent work in the preseason. And, Fred, I know the real reason you wanted to take a break was to eat. You don't have to say it was to settle in.
That's what he means by settle in.
I mean, there was all this food over there, and things were unsettled, and I had to settle it down by eating it. So, and plus, it's 2 o'clock, and I haven't eaten all day. So I was just starving, running around.
So, you know, no one has.
I know. Not just you. But, you know, I get cranky in my blood sugar and all that, so, I had to eat.
Oh, I feel lightheaded.
But now I feel better. We're ready to go. Webradio at patriots.com. It's the email address, 508-298-0398. It's the Ace Ticket Hotline. 855-PATS-500 is the domestic toll-free line. And we do have more international lines.
That was North
lines.
America.
North America, right. We do have more international lines. I think Chris Ferrer is going to put them up.
Oh, we got them?
Yeah. Toll-free?
I think we got about 12 now.
Nice.
Yeah.
So Mish can call?
Yep.
Who else?
The Jacobs in Denmark.
Anybody in Spain, Ireland, England. Germany,
Australia,
Japan. So.
Jason and Chiba.
Even though you're in New Hampshire right
is
now,
he?
Yeah, Jason and Chiba called last week from New Hampshire.
Oh,
it wasn't as exciting as him being in Chiba.
No, not at all.
So calls are coming in, emails are coming in. But guys, do you have any initial thoughts that you want to give about either the preseason game or today or?
Well, I'll start with today since that's fresh in the mind. I thought the passing game was a little unsettled today. And there were some times, especially in a two-minute drill, where it looked like the spring all over again, where They were just moving the ball down the field because the card said they were moving the ball down the field, not because they were actually completing passes and executing the drill, which was a little disappointing. Brady wasn't happy. There were drops. There were miscommunications. He yelled something at Sudfeld at one possession right at the end of a game where Bill was counting down 7-6, and Sudfeld caught it, and Brady just screamed. I don't know if he wanted him to get down or out of bounds. I'm not sure exactly. Passing game didn't look great.
Yeah.
After all that talk from last week and sort of, you know, the national guy.
Why do you think that is? Just kind of getting
back. It's a work in progress.
Yeah.
You're not a known commodity. You have maybe the talent and the potential to be good with these guys, but you're not a finished product.
Consistency at this point.
Yeah.
They're young guys. You know, Dobson, Tompkins,
and maybe the
Boyce.
Eagles blow in the secondary.
Yeah,
I mean,
but I'm pretty
they don't
sure
have anybody in the secondary.
But I'm pretty sure the Buccaneers do, too.
I think Revis.
Not today they didn't.
Yeah, I know he didn't. Mark Barron.
And they had Deshaun Golson, too, who did not fare well. Danny Amendola made him look silly a couple of times. One on a double move that it would have been about a 60-yard touchdown.
That's Danny Amendola.
And that's Deshaun Golson. So you'd like to think Pro Bowls, you know, match up with one another. Right?
Yeah, but our Pro Bowl is better than that.
Amendola went to the Pro Bowl?
Actually, our Pro Bowl has never been to the Pro
Bowl.
He's
not a Pro Bowler, right. First of all.
Paul was actually being pro-Patriot and giving him sort of the credit that he could be a Pro Bowler.
I tried
bowler.
To, but Fred just doesn't let you go there. And once again,
yeah,
Mr. Patriots.com. Mr.
Right.
Negativity, Fred Kirsch. but, it was a little wet today. Maybe that had something to do with it. There were a couple of passes I thought that were off, a hands high. Overall, Andy's right. They had a two-minute drill toward the end of practice. They had, I think, three straight situational-type things in a hurry-up. But, you know, you had to move 40, 50 yards in a certain amount of time, and you needed a field goal. They had four straight incomplete passes. You never see incomplete passes in those drills. Never. In practice, you never see incomplete passes where really the pass rush isn't really affecting anything.
Right.
Four straight passes were incomplete. That's not Patriots-like. And, it was a little surprising.
I also thought that Jamie Collins stood out a little bit to me only because he was getting a little bit more action with the first defense. They were moving him around a little bit, more than I had seen.
Oh, yeah,
he was getting a lot of reps.
He replaced Spikes. Yeah.
Well, Hightower replaced Spikes at the mic, and then Collins replaced Hightower at outside linebacker.
Right.
But he certainly...
But he showed up a little bit. I mean, he was involved. He was in on some plays. He didn't complete... Like, he had some plays where he was close to either tipping a pass or getting just, you know, a runner wrapped up, but it was just like maybe an inch or two off. But he was there. He was in the right spot to make the play. He was just...
Gerard Mayo with a nice pop on the muscle hamster, knocked him on his ass, his tail. And that was nice to see. But Paul's not happy with the Bucks. He thinks they suck because they just run the ball a lot.
Yeah.
Even in like two-minute drills and stuff, they're just running the ball. Turn your mic on, Fred.
Sorry, Fred. Turn your mic on, Fred.
Right.
That's a bad football team.
You think so?
Yeah. He thinks he's still coaching Rutgers.
Well, and he also has a tenth of his roster from Rutgers.
You can be conservative and close to the vest and you know, rely that the other team can't move the ball because, you know, I'm pretty good on defense and they won't be able to move. I'm going to run the ball and throw slip screens and maybe some quick slants here and there, and I'm going to try to win 17-10. That's a recipe for disaster.
By the
NFL.
Way, the Rutgers alumni barbecue is on behind the community relations tent, so...
There were several
Greg
people
Bedard
in the
be signing
VIP
autographs.
Area with the Rutgers gear on.
Yeah, there was Rutgers shirts. Greg Bedard had his Rutgers umbrella out.
Why not? They should have been here using it as a fundraiser. Eric mentioned, and you guys mentioned, that Spikes was not participating. And I had an observation. You know, anytime you see Spikes down for any reason, whether it's in practice or in a game, he misses time because of it. He's not one of those guys that bounces back from being dinged up. You notice that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I saw him on all fours during the game, and he got up slowly, and sure enough, he missed his practice.
But he was out there yesterday.
Yeah, but everybody was. He was just kind of walking through.
Oh, no. He was out there yesterday participating.
Really?
Not everybody was out there participating. Like, Dan Conley was out there and then didn't participate.
Dennard wasn't participating yesterday.
Yesterday
he
wasn't a
participating.
Walkthrough.
Yeah. Now, he did have full long sleeves and pants on. I don't know what that means. Maybe he was covering something up.
Could be. Yeah.
Big tape job on, like, a hamstring or something. Maybe he covered that up.
Could be. So I don't know what his deal is. And, of course, they don't do injury reports in the offseason. So, but it looked like some kind of leg thing during the game.
Really?
Yep.
Other interesting sort of angle that I know a lot of people are talking about, talking to Tlaib about, was just covering Vincent Jackson and Mike Williams today. Bigger receivers as opposed to last week. It was DeSean Jackson, smaller receivers, or Amendola in practice, smaller receivers, and just a little change of pace there.
Yep.
All right. A lot of McCourty at cornerback early in practice today, and then when they went team late, he was back at safety. A lot of nickel and dime work today for the Patriots with a lot of safeties on the field. McCourty's out there, depending on what you call him, but with Daron Harmon, Adrian Wilson, and Steve Gregory.
He's another guy we need to bring up who's rising meteor.
Oh, Harmon has ascended, and Wilson has descended.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, it's, Paul it's has deemed Wilson KP.
Okay.
I think that Tavon Wilson has, certainly been unimpressive in this camp. I haven't really seen a whole lot from Harmon either, other than the fact that he's passed Tavon Wilson. He's clearly sped right by Tavon Wilson on the depth chart. He gets more reps with the regular players than Tavon Wilson.
And again,
but I haven't really seen him make any plays.
No reason for it, it doesn't seem like. But, yeah, that's what's happened.
You know, Logan Ryan, I would say, I see occasionally he'll stick a play in. Here and there. I think he has had
burnt, though.
He has had some moments. I think he's been very uneven. I agree with Eric. I think he's gotten beat a lot, too. But I haven't really seen a whole lot from Harmon.
It might
not
be
a
mental thing where Harmon's picking it up fast and they can tell, he's...
Andy was trying to ask him a little bit about that today. He was not playing along.
No.
He actually kind of, I said, are you closer to being there than you were? Because he said, I'm still getting there, still working to get there. Well, are you closer than you were 2 weeks ago? Nah. That's not good.
Oh, yes, you are, though.
That's because, not good.
Because you're running there
is closer.
Yeah.
The Patriots had a why do you think they pick up a tight end, another tight end?
H-back type. Tight end,
Is that it? Any indication of Ballard's health or?
Well, Ballard's been out there though. That's the thing with him.
He looks no different.
Yeah.
So yesterday we were speculating because they cut Brandon Ford and didn't pick up a tight end. Well, maybe they were more comfortable with what he is right now. And now today he looks the same. He's still limping like he's always limped. And now they're adding one. So you speculate, could he?
Right.
He hasn't changed to me. Okay. Whatever they feel. It is, and Bill, I found it interesting, acknowledged that the medical staff is still involved with the Jake Ballard situation in terms of reps and what he can do. It hasn't changed visually to me. He doesn't look better and or worse after 2+ weeks of preseason.
All right, well, there's so much to talk about, but we'll let the emails and callers drive the conversation.
I called him a cripple accidentally on the...
You shouldn't do that.
Yeah, I know. I told him, though. I told him yesterday that I called him a cripple and I shouldn't do that.
You said that to Ballard?
Yeah.
What did he say?
He said, "Oh, you mean when I was limping off?" And I go, "Well, yeah, sort of." He goes, "Yeah, don't worry about it, man." I was thinking, that's bad news that the guy's okay with me calling him a cripple. Kind of means he's resigned himself to being a cripple.
Well, he already said he's never going to be the same.
No, I know, but
I think he also understands that you weren't being literal and you were just saying he's banged up right now. He looks like a cripple,
The right now part, though, I'm not sure I'm willing to throw in there.
No, but that's probably how he took it. Oh, that's, what are you, I understand. Sometimes you throw words out there you didn't mean. I think he was being a good guy. And by the way, the couple of times I've spoken to him, he seems like a pretty good guy.
Yeah, when I first saw him, the tattoos and everything, he looks like he could kind of be like an imposing guy.
No,
very mild mannered.
Very mild mannered.
You look
nice
at him
guy.
And you think Jeremy Shockey.
Yeah, and he's not.
Wild tight end with all these tattoos. Not only he's unshocky like in every way, and you can take that in all different ways. He's not that outgoing, brash personality. He's a good guy, down to earth guy. But he also doesn't have anywhere near the athleticism that Jeremy Shockey had as a tight end.
No. Which I'm kind of rooting for him, but I think he's done physically.
And our boy Big Smooth got banged up today, Freddie.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Daniel Fells.
Not good.
Appeared to be a shoulder, maybe?
Yeah, they were testing the shoulder strength. He jogged back over with the team, but then I didn't really see him do much after that.
Took another rep after
shoulder's
that.
Shoulder's better than legs, but still.
Well, he does for a guy who blocks.
He makes such medical assessments that are so strange.
He has to block and catch.
Right. What are you talking about?
I know my injuries. All right, let's go to the.
He'll be fine.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket line. Jason's in Maine. Hey, Jason, thanks for holding on.
No problem.
Oh,
hey, Jay.
It sounds like it was a problem.
Are you fell asleep actually?
He's not laughing.
All right, good to talk with you, Jay.
He's being serious.
Hello, is this thing on?
Can you hear us?
You mad, bro?
No, I'm not mad.
Oh, okay.
You guys know if the Patriots are switching back to a 3-4 defense?
They're not.
They're not.
We've seen zero indication of that happening.
right.
All right. Is there any particular reason why you asked that? Or is that something you want to see?
Well, I thought I wanted to ask that because when we were winning Super Bowl, that was the defense we were running, not a 4-3.
Okay.
Yeah, they just don't really have the personnel for it now. They don't have the guys that could play that end position. I think Chandler Jones would be miscast probably at both end and linebacker in that defense. So I think their personnel is very much 4-3.
I agree.
Is that all because of Richard Seymour?
Well, I want to point out, in 2001, they were 4-3. They won the Super Bowl.
Ty Warren, too.
So they didn't really turn to full-time 3-4 until after that because Richard Seymour was – they tried to make him a nose tackle. And I can hear that mix minus thing.
Feedback.
No, that's a mix plus, I think. Okay. When you can hear it, it's a mix plus. Mix minus means you can't.
That was Jason. He had to turn down his internet.
Okay. Yeah. So they have done it both ways. They have had success with the 4-3 as well, but I agree with Eric and Andy. I don't think they have the personnel really right now. And one of the common things, and I'm glad that Jason wasn't thinking along these terms, I hear a lot of people say, well, they have no depth at defensive tackle, so they need to go to 3-4. Well, you actually need more players of that ilk to play a 3-4 than you do in a 4-3. You have two tackles in a 4-3. You basically have three in a 3-4.
Right.
You need three 300-pound type guys.
Right.
Chandler Jones, to me, would be grossly miscast as a defensive end in a 3-4.
Well, you'd have to move him to an outside linebacker.
He'd have to be a linebacker. Andy has his reservations about that. And
right.
Listen, Andy knows linebacker play, Fred.
Right. That's true.
Let's go to Neil in Montreal. Hey, Neil.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Just wanted to give some comments on the TV broadcast.
Okay.
Are they positive or negative?
No, let us have it.
They're good. They're good.
Okay, then keep talking.
That's okay.
First of all, it was light years, and I mean light years better than Randy Cross and the other guy who I don't even want to mention.
Don Criqui.
But it was light years
Well, it's not like
better.
He's a murderer. I mean, you can mention his name.
I said his name,
yeah,
Don Criqui.
Bad example.
Patriots on defense, Thomas, Brucey, and Colvin.
Brucey.
Yeah. That's why I guess I refer to him as Don Creaky.
Well done.
Moving right along to a more serious note. I really like the idea of what you were trying to do, but I guess one of the problems is you, in effect, have four color people, and finding time for everyone seemed to be a problem. And I, what I wanted to ask, you know, you guys, Paul and Andy, I mean, I love your chairs. did you want to be saying more? Was there more input that you wanted to give? Because it was difficult because so many people were competing to do color because, you know, you had Matt on the field and you had Christian in the booth and you two. And I feel I didn't hear enough from the two of you, but maybe that was by design. So I figured I'll just let you guys comment. And I'll hang up.
Okay, thanks, Neil.
I think we wanted to not only maybe talk a little more, but also, more importantly, talk differently. And there were a number of times where we were talking to the director in his ear, and the example, like, you know, Michael Buchanan's on the field in the first quarter ahead of Jake Beckett. Let's talk a little Buchanan here. You know,
right.
The late-round draft pick, more play than the mid-round pick from a year earlier.
What could that mean?
And yeah. They seemed to ignore us a number of times and didn't come to us. And then when they did come to us, it was on what Fred would probably term sort of low-hanging fruit, you know, obvious stuff. And I thought we were brought in to maybe go dig a little deeper and not talk about the obvious stuff, a little deeper on the roster, a little deeper into practice reps and that kind of thing. So, yes, we wanted to talk a little differently than I think we were used for some of it.
Yeah, a couple of the things that I would say, you know, to Neil, and I would reiterate what Andy just said, but in addition to that, I do think that Matt Chatham, I think, would offer a lot more as a strict sideline guy, and we're going to hope to maybe get him more along the lines of what's going on the bench, because that's what a sideline guy is. I agree wholeheartedly with what Neil said. We had basically four color analysts, and I don't think that's what our intention was at the start. So if Matt was a sideline guy and Christian stuck to the color analyst, I think that we'd be better off. And then if they did what Andy just said, I thought the way you put that was not only – we would like to have spoken more, but differently.
Right.
The differently part, to me, they kept going to us about, you know, like Stephen Ridley had a long run, so they go to us about Ridley.
What
about
didn't need you to do that.
Tim
right.
Tebow's
right.
running around, so they go to us about Tebow. No.
Right.
It's almost like I felt like we had this idea, and Matt Smith's idea was very, very innovative. And it's risky. It's ballsy.
And I think that we almost we got to the point where we took the risk, and then we kind of chickened out a little bit in the middle. Right. And in the middle of the fourth quarter, we deteriorated into talking about Tom Brady.
Right.
Deteriorated.
You know, well, but
that's
I,
an interesting view.
But I think that's exactly what we didn't want to do. And it's almost like we got to the line that we wanted to get to. And now it's time to talk about Justin Green and Daron Harmon and all the Logan Ryan and all these guys that are out there that maybe the fans aren't overly interested in, or aren't maybe a better way to put it, maybe not that they're not overly interested in it.
They don't know him,
right?
No, not familiar overly with. Familiar with.
Not right. Familiar with. Them.
And don't that's know where why that's where Andy and I were supposed to come
important,
in,
or why it could right. be related.
Andy's point
to the
about
team.
Michael Buchanan, I'll guarantee you, 95% of the fans wouldn't have thought much of until he said it.
Right.
And he never actually got to say what he just said on the radio. He was on it immediately. Wow, Michael Buchanan is on the field with the twos. This is what does this say for Jake Beckett? That's what you want to delve into. So if the fans are saying there, how's Beckett looked and how's Buchanan looked?
Right.
This is offering you a glimpse of that.
Yep.
And we talked about it, off air. We talked about it among the producer and whatnot, but we never got it on the air. And instead, unfortunately, we ended up talking about Tebow three or four times.
And I don't want to Fran is the producer. I mean, the director. He had a lot going on. You know, everybody knows Rochie on air has a lot kind of to do. Well, he has even more. I mean, there is even more, replays and everything in addition to the different voices and when we're going to go to them, how we're going to mix them in. So he had a very difficult job. And remember, he's also changing from his comfort zone of how he normally does a
sure.
game. With
They've
normal.
Never done it before
right.
either.
So I think it was a decent first effort. We're like the offense. We're a work in progress. We're going to have some highs, some lows.
But how you guys mentioned how each person should be used, I think is the right way.
We'll get there.
I think that's what the original intention was.
Either that or they're just going to kick one of us out.
And I think they need to remember that. And, I think, though, that, if they get into tangents too much about Tim Tebow or,
Cheese Whiz.
Yeah, or Tom Brady or whatever, they're going to miss, the fact that Buchanan's on there because they're really not paying attention enough.
Right.
And so, I don't know how to correct that, but I think that's the idea. That's where you want to get to.
It was a first step.
Yep.
In the right direction. And, right about when the preseason ends, we'll be hitting our stride.
Well, that's the problem.
We'll be back next year.
You only get three shots at this year. The next game, you won't be brought. It's not our broadcast. It's
national.
The Fox broadcast.
Every year, pretty much, you'll only get three.
Yeah.
Because they generally have at least one national.
We're the Patriots.
Eventually, it's going to be less. I'm telling you, there's going to be less preseason games. I think that's one of the reasons why Belichick and
invented
other teams
joint practice.
are really now emphasizing joint practices more because they realize eventually we're going to lose one, if not two, preseason games, and these are going to become more valuable.
That's true, Fred. And I also think it's a more valuable practice
right.
than just practicing amongst yourselves.
When you can't have double sessions and do a lot of hitting, I think you need to get the max out of when you do hit, and this is an opportunity.
It's like whatever the opposite of collateral damage is. It's like a surprising benefit of the CBA rules.
Fringe benefit?
Yeah, but you didn't expect it,
right.
Unexpected,
a windfall.
Because I'm not sure they would have done it as extensively as they do it now, with 2-3 days with another team.
Well, Bill had to
invent
it
multiple times in a preseason.
Had Bill not invented joint practice,
but I think it's a result of the CBA and limiting the practices and the double sessions and whatnot. You get more done
when he was done in the 40s with Paul. When he was done inventing the forward pass, he said, "I need practice.
There is
a
trade-off
with another team,
because if you're looking for strictly in practice, getting guys reps and putting them on film." Unless you have four fields and you're going to do that four-ring circus thing, actually your team gets half the reps that they would get because the other team's taken up.
Goes longer, like it has
well,
been.
But the other team's taken up that other half, whether you're offense or defense. So, there is a trade-off there.
But they're also doing the opportunity reps still, too, for the
lower
reps.
I don't see any lost reps, to be honest with you.
Well, there has to be by just – there can't be, unless you double the time of practice.
But I think the offense actually, the first offense today actually worked more than they normally do. That's their choice. That's what I'm saying. They didn't take reps away from Mallett and Tebow today. I think they
No.
He's saying those
are now
reps.
The Patriots' defense wasn't on the field while that was happening.
No, but they could have done it if they wanted to on the other field. They chose to do it the way they did it today, alternating offense and defense.
Well,
that's the way they set up practice.
Okay.
I wasn't in Philadelphia, so I can't tell you how they set it up there. But what I'm saying is they had, Fred, they had a team period. Then they had a two-minute drill, and then they had situation, 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 all with ones.
Right.
Offense and defense.
Right.
They could have chosen to do it differently if they wanted to.
They want to maximize the time they have while they're together.
No, I know. And my guess is that you'll probably see a little bit more of a change on Wednesday or Thursday, depending on how much they're planning on playing the ones in the game. Now, that's another thing to keep an eye on. If they keep playing a lot, if Brady gets all the reps again Wednesday, and then, you know, Thursday's more of a walkthrough, don't expect to see a lot of Brady Friday night.
Right. That's true.
Now, if you see a lot of Mallett and Tebow, then maybe they're going to give Brady a little bit more run. Right now, I wouldn't expect to see more of Brady than you saw in the first game Friday night, based on today.
Let's go back to the phones. Melvin's in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
What's up, y'all?
What's going on?
Yeah, not much. I just had a quick question. Well, I wanted Andy kind of to elaborate on what he said last week about kind of giving up on Hightower. Because I was thinking, I don't know if he's really, you know, kind of, I don't know if he's not that edge player that we were thinking of, not as versatile possibly. And I was thinking he could possibly be better as a middle linebacker. And if so, then that would kind of not really help the team because we got a kind of an abundance of, you know, inside players, but not enough on the outside. So I just wanted Andy to kind of elaborate on that and everybody else chiming as well. But just about the pass rush in general and Hightower's fit, I guess, to the scheme being on the outside, and then he's kind of, you know, maybe better on the inside. I don't know. I don't know what you all are saying on practice, but I just wanted you all to talk about that.
Well, okay. We saw Hightower at middle linebacker today when Spikes was out, and based on that, I mean, I don't think it's a leap to believe that next year he'll be your starting middle linebacker with Jamie Collins as your starting outside linebacker when Spikes is playing elsewhere as a free agent. And to me, that's a disappointment. To me, the guy was drafted, you know, had all these Nick Saban quotes. He's our sub rusher in this. He can do this. He can do. Well, now he's a middle linebacker.
You know what I find funny about you? You have this absolute affinity for a fullback, just like throwback player, you know, does, you know, these, the dirty work, but it's a waste of a player if you have to play inside
linebacker. No, it's a waste of, like...
Remember when he used to throw up when Adalys Thomas had to play inside?
Yes.
It's a waste.
If you're supposedly this freakish
athlete,
no, I totally
get what you're
talking
about. You
should be at a position that requires a lot of freakish versatile athleticism.
I totally get what you're talking about.
I can be honest
get
what a middle linebacker
it,
and a fullback
said,
is.
He did love, like, the Urlacher types, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love if a guy can bring something to that
athletic
position. Yes. And he was a safety. He was a blown-up safety in more ways than one. And he brings that to that position.
What other way besides
Ask Jack Clark. Ask Jack Clark. But I do think those positions are a fallback position. If you're not athletic enough or good enough to play some other spots, you end up as a fullback.
Well, especially but that's kind
you
of
end
what
up
I'm,
as a middle linebacker.
That's what I'm getting at.
Whereas, well, I'm not sure in today's NFL, because there is something to be said for in these passing games, these slot receivers, these underneath tight ends, that you're going to ask your middle linebackers to do more. Maybe you can have a three-down middle linebacker. Now, I do think if you have Mayo, Hightower, Collins, that is a very athletic trio of linebackers out there. Even though two of them are sort of inside linebacker types, if Hightower drifts in that direction, I still think they're all three are versatile, can rush the passer a little, cover a little, blah, blah, blah. But I just feel like at this point, what we were sold that Dante Hightower was and could be, we haven't really seen.
Yeah, we were talking about this oversized, freakish guy who could do everything.
Right, rush the passer, bang somebody in the slot, cover, drop, you know, stop the run. And I haven't been.
And you're giving up on that?
Close.
I'm trending in that direction.
I'm close to giving up on
you know,
that.
He was hurt last year. Okay, he pulled the hammy, was never the same, blah,
no
blah, blah.
This year.
Well, is he hurt now, and why aren't I seeing much now, and how long is it going to take now, and is it the year 5 jump or the year 6 jump I have to wait for?
No, we got to get to Andy Sarkis.
But do we ever see from a defensive guy what he can actually do in a game, you know, during training camp? Do we ever know, you know,
what do you mean?
Like with Chandler Jones last year, for example. Yeah, he showed some good speed, but we really didn't know what he was going to be able to do until we got him in pads.
Well, I think immediately when we saw one-on-ones, we saw him having his way at times with Solder and in good battles and said,
we declared him the starter in the spring.
Right. I mean, you saw flashes of what he could be immediately.
Yeah.
And I have yet to see just anything that I would say is extraordinary or out of the ordinary from Hightower. Just kind of,
Do you think...
I'm not saying he's bad. Don't mistake this. I'm not saying he's bad. but I haven't been wowed by anything. You know, coming from the Alabama defense, he should be ahead. A lot of the jobs are the same. A lot of the terminology is the same. It's the money. It's the star. It's all the same. Well, how come it hasn't transitioned so quickly that he is like this great foot? Some people believe, by the way, he was never the same after he got hurt. Even though we got all the pro, he blew out his knee as a sophomore.
Yeah.
And some people said he's never been the same. Maybe that's true. I don't know.
Maybe, some of the things that he's been given credit for being able to do
were old school.
Were things that he had done before he got hurt. That I don't know. Because I didn't watch him.
At the combine.
I didn't watch him enough. Yeah, he should have just offered it up on, right. on the podium. I didn't watch him enough at Alabama to know, you know, if there was a discernible drop off. And I want to, I'm not giving up on him as a player. But
and by
as,
the way,
as
the comparisons
the,
to Dalis Thomas are also,
yeah.
Which one was he? Was he Batman or Robin at Alabama?
Right.
You know, they had a couple Batman, they had a couple Robin. Who are they? Figure it out. And which one is he?
That's the thing. Even like a guy like Dee Milliner, you know, it was hard to tell who was the great player on that Alabama defense.
But even that year, like, was up front. I mean, they had him, they had the guy with the Ravens, they had the big defensive tackle, two big defensive tackles. I mean, there was a lot of talent in that front seven, six, five, whatever the combos were.
Do you think that there's more or less depth inside or outside at linebacker?
More inside.
See, I feel like that,
definitely.
Too.
Well, part of it is because some of your outside linebackers are inside linebackers.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, there's a lot of mixed depth.
It all depends on
the outside. Am I bumping?
Yeah. I don't think there's a problem with depth
Fletcher,
on any of those spots.
But the problem is the depth. Some of them plays
elsewhere.
They're
not good enough.
Oh, except for Collins, they can all play inside.
And if I need an outside, I can bring Ninkovich back. But now I don't have a defensive end, and what do I do there? And they're kind of overlapping depths.
Yeah, but I see, that's the way I feel about it. Is I think there's plenty of guys that can play outside, but they're guys that can play outside as opposed to
outside players.
Yeah, he's a really good player out there. You know,
who's a really good player out there?
No, I'm saying I think they have a bunch of guys that can play outside. Like, I don't think Mayo was great outside.
Well, I'd say he's the best of the bunch they've had in terms of making
absolutely
plays.
He's the best. They have.
Not saying a whole lot, though.
Well, he had a good year.
I didn't take it like that.
He had a good year last year.
I didn't mean it like that.
He was around the ball a lot. He made plays in the air.
I think he's absolutely
the
best
ground.
He's absolutely the best linebacker they have. I mean, this, I don't think there's any dispute in that.
Things just changed so quickly on this show, and now I'm the defender of Gerard Mayo making plays.
That's
like,
good.
For 5 years, I questioned, where are the plays?
Well, I mean, look what happened early in the show. Fred was ripping them. I mean,
what are you going to do?
Good news is we can all agree Tebow still stinks.
Ben from New York writes it up.
He was hopping on one leg today.
Fred, yeah. He did sprints all by himself. No one else on the field. He's doing full-on sprints with his pads on. And then he's hopping up and down on his left foot across the field and then on the right foot. I don't know what the guy is doing.
Oh, leave him alone.
Does he have bad ankles? Is he strengthening the muscles around
his
ankles? I mean,
yeah.
Well, what is going on with him?
You know.
Can't he throw?
Ben from New York says, uh-oh, post-game guys talking crap about Paul and Andy. You better separate yourself from these idiots. This is a much more professional show. I think you guys should fire back. Who said that?
And there's no guys. It's Mark Bertrand, isn't it? Wait, what post game?
I don't know. Maybe the 98.5 one? I'm not sure. Anyway, he says, my question today is the future. Do you see PFW turning into a show like Mike and Mike on ESPN? I think it'd be awesome if you guys could have a web/radio show where we could see you guys yelling and tearing each other apart.
That is all the rage now. Even like small little radio stations, like morning shows, are doing.
But you know why? It's because these cable shows need filler.
Yeah, it's
but some are
content.
Just doing it
true.
On their website. Right. Like they've gone through the trouble to put the cameras in, and they're just doing it on their
it's
website.
It's a waste of time. It really
is. Well,
is
there time involved? I don't know what.
Well, waste of money and time and
it's
effort.
No, that's what it is. You said that the cable program,
right?
It's no money. It's
right.
There's no time, effort, or money invested in it. That's why.
And it's also, I actually don't have a problem with it because I think there's a much bigger draw to watch a live show discussing sports than there is, you know, Charlie Moore outdoors random on a day watching fishing or something for these sports networks.
And I do think
give them something to watch.
However small the audience is, you do pick up some more people that might be just clicking around and they're like, well, you know, who's that?
Oh, yeah. It's easy
it's
content.
Timely.
And it costs you nothing to produce.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I don't know. To me, it's not worth it.
I think it's good news.
We got plenty of video on Patriots.com. We don't need to put
us up there. No, I'm not necessarily saying for us. I'm saying for them. You know, they have to have stuff all the time. We don't.
Right.
We're on demand video on our website.
Yeah,
they
already have
to fill 24 hours.
Right.
And it's either that or remember Comcast had that stupid construction show? It's like, why am I watching a construction show on Comcast Sportsnet? How does that fit in with the rest of this lineup?
or you get an infomercial.
What was the construction show?
It was a guy.
Like a home improvement?
It was a local.
Because I just had an idea.
Oh boy.
Jesus.
To fill like a construction station, you just go to job sites and just have a live camera on the job and you can watch a building being made.
There's no construction station.
you could have one.
Slots for something that doesn't exist.
Now you can have one.
Yeah.
We have enough cable channels.
New idea. 24-hour construction station.
Seriously, what are you talking about?
CNN.
You got this old house, you got this new building.
Right. Construction News Network, CNN.
And then you could have construction.
What's on at night?
Then you could have construction site rescue where they're doing a really bad job.
Oh, at night you go to the DOT.
This guy
DOT,
comes in and
highway,
yells at them and you know, revamps the whole project.
If they ever start that channel, yes, that'd be a fine show.
Let's go to Isaac in Fort Lauderdale. Hey, Isaac.
I'm not even sure it'd be a good show on that station.
How you doing?
Hey, Ike, how are you?
Good. I'm going to ask about Brandon Spike. Do you think that's a guy that we can't afford to lose next season?
Yes. Yeah, because I think he's going to want more than he's worth. And you've already overpaid your linebacker, and that's Mayo. And you can't – there's not enough money to go around.
Didn't take long
people.
To come back around the corner on that one.
Do you think he's overpaid?
Yes.
Thank you.
But I wasn't defending him 30 seconds
Doesn't
ago.
Mean I can't say he's good and be overpaid. You can be both. And he is.
Yeah, that's
and
what I'm saying. I mean, I think defense will – I think just what he can do on the field is popping the arm. I think we'll miss that.
I think he brings a nice level of attitude and thump to the interior of the defense.
That you'll miss that physicality.
But
of
I don't know that
hurting
Hightower
a guy
can't.
every once a month he'll hurt somebody.
Unless
and you'll miss that.
Unless they draft a guy like him.
Well, that's the other
to
thing.
Take his place.
I mean, we're a year away, or pick
sign
up a
free
backup.
Agent. Yeah,
you pick up a guy that's just out there.
So you guys think another team overpay him?
I do. I think he's gone. Yeah. I think he will be elsewhere in 2014.
I even think that if he doesn't get overpaid, I think he's one of those guys that sort of likes to spread his wings and see if he could do it his own way
and
somewhere
non-conformist.
Else.
And
we're talking overpay like big money. He just might simply be paid more than the Patriots are willing to pay him.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow, Fred is like a whole different Fred today.
Why?
No, you're right. I agree with you.
And I'm not sure that they love the idea that he didn't work out here and all that. I'm not sure. I don't think they're big on nonconformists, and he wants to label himself a nonconformist.
I think that he might just be one of those guys that's looking to say, you know what, I can make $2 million here, I can make $2 million there, but you know what, if I go there, I won't have to do everything they tell me to do.
Right.
I think he's one of those guys.
Get back on roulette chat.
I won't have to be thinking about Bill Belichick every time I do an interview.
Right. I can have a girl. Oh, forget it.
Let's go to Chris with a TIN. Christian, how you doing?
I'd like to give my opinion of the.
Yeah, does anybody have energy?
Isaac was under the covers. I don't know if he was allowed taking his phone privileges were taken away for the day or something.
I just missed
overall,
the rail.
I thought it was a good experience for the crew. Some good, some bad. Wasn't perfect.
All
right. Got a long way to go, but we were certainly competitive in the announcing game.
I don't know. I'm not sure we were competitive in the announcing game.
Well, you didn't have any competition, really.
Listen to me. Don Cricky and Randy Cross. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. Okay?
But I don't just want to be better than them. I wanted to be competent.
Yeah.
I'm not sure we made it.
I don't want to be Jeff Demps and be, a competitive one of 32 preseason broadcasts. I want to be a legitimate silver medal winning broadcast.
No, but you showed up for your broadcast.
That's true.
I would have liked to have seen you more and certainly comment on other players like you guys just said, but
I think we got to cut somebody. I nominate Chatham. Somebody's got to go. Sorry, man.
But you guys, it was.
I'm guessing he cost more.
I told you when you
what about the other
when you watch these games, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for insight. And yeah, I would have liked to see you more in the third or fourth quarter, but it's still, I got information and. We didn't cut away to, the sideline for the Sam Adams Brewery guy. We didn't cut away to, some other thing. It was all good. And, yeah, I mean, obviously there were some hiccups, but,
I
liked it.
I think it'd be funny if, you guys were, sitting in front of a green screen, and every time they went to you, it was, this completely different backdrop. One time you're on top of the Empire State Building, and another time you're on a flying carpet.
It's all about the gimmicks.
Christian, did you think Andy and I looked like we might be heading to a civil ceremony at some point?
Maybe, yeah.
What? I didn't think it looked.
Were
like
we a little undrafted rookie free agent cornerback out of LSU-ish?
The initial shot that they had us set up.
The red chairs didn't help, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I thought.
The red chair diaries.
You want to know why? Because it was like you guys, you didn't look comfortable. You both looked like you were leaning.
Well, they told us to.
They told us to lean in. And
in and up.
In toward each other and forward.
Yeah, and it's like you guys were like reaching to like look up at the camera or something. That was awkward.
Hey, we do as we're told. We're just the talent.
You can't like stand in a room with like a board or something?
Well, that was an original plan, but I don't know how that's going.
The board never arrived.
We were supposed to have
a touch screen.
You
were supposed to order that?
Yeah, it was ordered, but it hasn't got here yet.
We'll have it just in time for
the playoffs.
Just so you know, Christian, I think you will get more of us in the fourth preseason game. I think that could be a big game.
It could be a big Andy Paul show.
It might be just the two of you.
Garbage time for players is apparently garbage time for announcers, too, and we'll be out there quite a bit.
Well, that's good because the starters usually don't play in the fourth preseason game.
Exactly.
If at all. I mean, it's like one series.
Paul and Andy.
It'll be the opposite. Next game that's on will be the Detroit game. That's the third one. We probably won't be on as much as we were this last one. And then the last one will be heavy on the bottom of the roster.
Yeah, because the starters play usually the three quarters in the third game.
Right.
Through three.
So they'll probably stick with that.
Well, you guys did a pretty good job. Like I said, it was far from perfect. But you'll definitely get better as you go along. I have one quick question about the game and a player. I think everybody's kind of got players in general. Everybody's got to kind of cool it with this whole running game thing. And I don't know if you guys mentioned this at the top of the show. I heard you. I didn't hear like the first 15 minutes. But Philly sucks.
Plus, you can't, after one preseason game, you can't say anything we see in this game, this is how it's going to be.
Oh, of course.
You can't do that.
And, as far as, like, LeGarrette Blount and everything, like, yeah, okay, great. I'm looking at Ridley. I'm looking at Vereen. Those are the two guys that I'm hitching my wagons to, not Blount.
Between Bolden and Blount, I might go with Blount.
Yeah. Right?
Blount. His name is Blount.
Blount Force. Sorry.
Thank you, Blount. Not Blount. I'm not yelling at you, Christian. I'm yelling at Fred.
I think Blount has clearly succeeded
Blount.
Bolden on the depth chart.
Yeah.
Blount, Fred.
McCurdy.
The O is silent.
The biggest factor in that is he had 101 yards, right? Or 111.
101.
And 51 of those came on a run that he's not going to do in the regular season.
In the regular season, he would have been a three-yard loss.
It ain't happening. So
high school run. If he does that against the Ravens, he gets killed.
Right. Yeah. So, but he also has looked pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, he's had a nice camp.
Oh, he can't catch. You're right. And I don't know what Bill was talking about him today, and somehow saying good hands. I don't know who he was talking.
He's had a nice camp, but I agree with Christian on the larger picture here. There'll be games where they do that, where they get 250 yards rushing, and they'll have a very impressive yards per carry average. That's not going to be what they're going to be able to hang their hat on,
right?
Offensively, and I do think that offensive line is pretty good, especially run blocking. I think they're improving in that area.
Sure.
The fact that they're together and healthy, I think, is a big part of it. But Andy brought out the stat: they didn't have one single run of 50 plus yards last year. They had two in that game the other day.
Right. One on the first play.
That's
of the game.
Not stuff you can count on
right.
on a regular basis.
It should have been like an 80-yard run.
Yeah. I don't know what he was thinking running back into the.
Well, I don't know what he was thinking when he tied weights to his legs. He looked like Fred Kirsch trying to finish that run.
He looked like when he got to about the 40 or 35 yard line, then he hit a wall.
Right,
like,
it was
literally
like
hit a wall.
Yeah. He needed a
not
break.
Not figurative. Like he
just
picked
the ball far
I think
away.
Me and Andy need to have a little running race.
Wow. So we can beat him in four sports.
No, but that was embarrassing.
Track and field.
Yeah.
The first play of the game, he breaks free and can't finish. It. Right. The first play of the game.
Well, you actually got criticized on Bruce Media. Someone made fun of you for saying, oh, he's got to learn how to finish.
And he does.
They said that nobody uses that phrase. No coach would ever use that phrase about a player, and it shows how it was amateur hour.
Oh, well.
And it's like, wow.
Who said that? Because I've heard that hundreds of times on the field.
Oh, by the way, when the Giants beat the Patriots in the second Super Bowl, the motto that Tom Coughlin came up with his team for that year was finish.
Well, yeah. But
coaches use it all the time. I've heard Ivan Fears say it. I've heard Scott O'Brien say it.
Finish.
Somebody didn't finish one the other day.
I don't mean to make it sound like I'm criticizing you for being cliche, but it's one of the bigger cliches you hear on a football field.
I'm just saying what they said.
It's the opposite of
finish. It was a comment. Mentor to a post.
Tell him to get out of his mother's basement, go find a girl, have sex for the first time, and get back to him.
Okay. Oh, speaking of mothers, I got...
Hey-ho!
All right, Chris.
But it's that whole part of that whole thing that Fred always makes fun of. It's like, these guys, they all think that they're the professionals and that everybody should hire them.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
They're hoping that everyone gets fired and no one, they'll be the last man standing.
And Fred, I don't know why you insist on it.
It's
that,
like a
that's
moth
why
to a
I don't
flame.
Read it.
I have to watch.
It really is. I don't know why you do that.
I get enough people who direct tweet me and email me and tell me how much I suck. I don't need to go other places and find how much I suck.
Well, at least they know who you are. They don't know who I am.
Well, another laughable comment. They don't know who Andy is.
Well, that was
you know what I said to him on that. When you meet him, you should say, "It's funny. I didn't know who you were until last week when I saw you make an ass of yourself with Gary Tangway."
Should I mention it?
Check.
Fred, when I'm co-hosting on Thursday,
yes,
on his
nice
station,
to say about
should
him
I mention
too.
It? Yeah, because I'm pretty sure the guy I'm co-hosting with, Mike Salk, has a feud with him and hates him.
Oh, is that
or
right?
Something. So maybe
I think everybody does
well,
don't they?
He's a douchebag.
Well, he
have you ever
that's
seen
his,
him?
That's his shtick. I actually kind of.
Oh,
like
I don't
him.
Think it's a shtick.
No, but
he's
that's his thing. Yeah,
I mean, and I actually
tries
don't care about that. But
he's confrontationally tries to like.
Speaking of that,
he tries to be combative. That's his thing.
Right.
And I actually kind of like him. I think he's provocative.
He's not afraid to call people out.
I actually like listening
to him. We're talking about the morning guy.
He has
on EEI.
Kirk Minahan. I like him. I think he's provocative.
I didn't know his name.
He has added to that. He has added to that morning show infinitely, bringing a different edge, different, you know, style.
Well, it lights up little too well.
Different level of knowledge, which the other two lack.
I won't say that because I don't think he's overly knowledgeable about anything.
Compared to those two?
That's actually the one. I thought he looked the worst in that whole thing with Tangway. Before that, when he was talking to Lou, and Lou said, well, why are they doing it on Wednesday when they've never done that before, 2 days before? Is that true? Have they never done that? You don't know that. Well, yeah, because they've never done it. Educate yourself. If you're going to argue something, you should have some knowledge of the argument. Otherwise, just say, I don't know. It's okay to say,
right.
I don't know.
I right. do think
but don't be a big bald a-hole and keep arguing when you don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I don't know why you have to bring baldness into it. Like, that's
bald.
Bald.
Big bald.
Oh, big bald.
L-L-E-D.
Oh, I thought you meant bald.
B-A-L-D. Paul sticking up for the...
for the follicle right, challenge, right, absolutely. Right. But that's laughable that he's feigning
right.
knowledge of who Andy is.
I don't know
is.
Who Andy Hart is.
And I actually
it's
don't
like
even
Kobe
really,
Bryant. Do I know you?
I actually think there's a chance he might not. And that's fine.
He might not know
who
you personally.
You. If Chris Berman said that to me, okay, he's Chris Berman. Everybody knows who Chris Berman is. No one knows who that guy is either.
Right.
You are the biggest fish in the littlest pond ever.
Fred,
I mean,
Andy and I did go to the finals of the Comcast Media Challenge.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Right.
There's enough people out there that know who Andy is.
Right. He's had plenty of opportunities.
He couldn't overtake me in the poll, but he overtook everybody else.
And I'm on your competition every week. The higher, I shouldn't call it competition because they can't compete with Tutcher and Rich. And I'm on that show every week, but you've never heard of me.
Right.
And I'm on the same nightly sports show that you're on, but you've never heard of me.
Which is so funny because you know they listen to each other in the
just
morning. They have people monitoring each show. So they,
yeah, because they steal from the other show. That's blowing
them
out of the
he
water.
He may have
in the
never
ratings.
Actually met like Andy.
Me
like, I've actually met Kirk a couple of times on that Comcast show.
He probably
show.
Does know you and doesn't like you.
I've been on the Late Show a couple
I'm
times
really
when he's been
I cross
on.
Paths right. with him now.
So maybe he never crossed paths with
just
him.
Just walk up and punch him and say,
you
know me now?
Oh, no. But I'll say stuff. I'm definitely.
I told you.
Like, if he's there tonight, I'm doing 10 o'clock tonight. God, I hope he's there. Because it'll be tremendous.
Oh, God. I might just come just to watch.
But I don't think he does the late ones.
He'll go, meow.
No, I won't.
He does late ones.
He does?
Really? Yeah. And he gets up for the show.
He's harder up for money than I am. If I did a morning show, I wouldn't be doing the late Comcast.
Yeah. Jason in Boston says, just wanted to say that
probably
I really enjoyed the new segments where they threw to Paul and Andy for some in-depth analysis and even called them out for resembling the old curmudgeonly Muppet characters. If you're a regular listener of the show, they're not really contributing anything that we haven't already heard, but anything is better than those bozos in previous years talking about God knows what in the third and fourth quarters. Those red leather chairs looked like they were picked up at a Michael Jackson estate sale circa 1986.
They're left over from the Taylor Swift concert.
And does anybody else think that Andy sounds completely different on TV than on the radio?
Yes. No question.
I do?
Yes.
Anyway, keep up
it's
the good
such
work.
A, you know, I need time to rant and speak fast.
Can't do that.
It's TV. It's a totally
different
medium.
Totally different medium.
Yeah, you sound different, though.
You know, I'm like Bo. He didn't play the same on the football field as he did on the baseball field. I
but
go
but he always spoke the same.
Sport to hey.
With a discernible stutter.
He's a very nice man, according to Tyrone Green.
Let's go to the most
getting
interesting Patriots fan in the world.
He went to Auburn, so I asked him.
Hello, James.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I don't live in my mother's basement, Andy, so you can take that back.
Well, no, and you're also bringing some energy, unlike the first four callers we had who were like, wah, 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 nothing.
I thought you guys were really good. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, the chairs were slightly flaming. Did they put a lot of fake tan on you all on the station? Because you both looked a little brown.
Really?
No, they didn't put lighting. They actually put some dust on Paul.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that because I was afraid that I was just going to come off as like completely pasty.
That was just us.
You look Maybe it was the chairs just made you look brown or something.
No, I did.
I thought it was great.
I did have a little makeup. Andy didn't have any.
Yeah. No, I thought you guys were awesome, and screw anyone who says negative stuff. And I love the way Howard Stern ripped on Dennis Callahan. That was the greatest.
Oh, that was good. Yeah, we never mentioned that.
I don't mind the negative comments. Like that commenter that you're talking about, I don't mind if he had something constructive. But don't say that. People don't. Coaches don't use the phrase "finish." You got to finish the run. I mean, come on.
That's the first time. It must be quite disjointed, you guys not actually being next to them and having to throw it back to the studio. So,
yes.
Obviously, it's a little bit difficult, but it was the first time. I thought it was great. I was very pleased. You both got your Tebow digs in there, so I was very happy with that. And apart from that, I was pretty happy with the preseason game. I think Tebow could have sucked a bit more, but he didn't. I think he could have sucked worse. That's the only negative I'll take away from it.
Now, James, did you think we were pretty negative on Tebow?
No. You just said he was a college quarterback, and I thought you were, considering what he was doing on the field, I thought you were relatively fair and reserved.
Did you get
and
criticized?
I think what you were doing. I think
no, I was getting criticized because I wasn't giving my honest opinion and that he sucks.
No. I think what you were.
I thought I was pretty negative on him, to be honest with you.
No, I think you were addressing that people had way too high expectations of him in the first place.
Yeah.
I think he played up to his level. I think that's what you were doing. The way you were saying it was you're not knocking a kid, you know, knocking someone when he's down. It's, you know, he is what we expected him to be. That's that.
This is what we've seen in training camp. He has been erratic with his passing, and
right.
He runs around like a chicken with his head cut off.
I think it's you're treating him like a third-string quarterback. You've said more about him on TV than any other third-string quarterback. So he's already getting enough press.
Right.
Yeah.
I think people are just elevating him to be treated in a different way.
Plus, we can't say sucks on TV.
Yeah, you can.
No, they told us early. Like,
they told
nothing.
Us not to.
Can't say pussy. Can't say sucks. Can't say any of that.
Can't say some of that stuff on this show either.
Can't say nut cutting time.
You can't say certain things like that on this show
either.
That's
why you would say quiet, Andy. Your vocabulary's literally been cut to about five words.
Yeah.
And that's one of them.
Do you want to unveil your idea about Tebow, or are you going to save that?
Oh, yes. No, I had a mark. I was thinking the other day, Fred, you'll be on board with this.
Yeah.
I think Tebow should join the WWE, become a wrestler. He could be like called the Disciple. I was thinking of his moves. He could have like the Lord's Elbow.
Right.
You know, the...
And he Tebows after he wins.
Yeah.
No, Andy told
him. And what bigger platform?
I think it's a great idea.
He'd have his platform for his thing, and I would actually watch it. If Tebow became a wrestler, I could honestly see myself sitting down and watching wrestling.
That would be
him
good.
Versus The Undertaker or something like that, it'd be brilliant.
Yep,
it would.
I think, you know, he's like the good guy, and then like in one episode, like he turns
bad
for a little bit,
yeah.
But
I
then
think
goes
he'd be
back
a heel?
To being good.
Right.
And his manager could like...
You're going to turn him into a heel?
Or something
yeah,
like
for
that.
A little bit. For a little bit. And then he comes back, and then people like in the audience, they come up the maimed, and he heals them. Mm. And
He could sort of, as he walks on, he could like sprinkle holy water.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I think it would work.
Oh, sorry.
I think it would. I think he could do it. They actually tried it a little bit with the Ultimate Warrior when he came back in WCW, because he became a whack job, born again, and he would only come back and he would stand up and give these like sermons from like the rafters, and it was terrible. Yeah. But I think Tebow could pull it off, especially with his cult following.
Yeah,
God bless.
Exactly. And then they can string him up to the roof like they did with Bret Hart and see how that goes.
Oh, it was Owen.
Sorry about that.
All right,
I'll leave you be. Anyway, it's a great broadcast. Screw all the negative people. And say nuts next time. That'll be great.
Thanks, James.
Balls feel good. Come on, there. Silicone on it.
Ball feel good.
I think you should just say, we had some nuts here in the studio.
Let's see.
Well, the first thing we heard from Fran was, hey, Andy Hart's male camel toe showing through or something.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, you had some camel toe on TV?
That's what he said
That's what he said.
Is that what he said when you were discussing Ben Vereen's outstanding touchdown catch?
No? Why? Come on.
Let's see.
Nice little tap dance in the end zone there, didn't he?
That's how I would have.
Matt in Denmark.
Right? Yeah.
And by the way, I hope everyone enjoyed
related,
the fact
too,
that it was
way.
Live on Patriots.com. We had about 40,000 people.
Really?
Watching on Patriots.com.
Wow. That seems like a lot.
Yeah.
Wow,
40,000 people.
Multiply that by 19.
And they were coming.
Forget it. I'll tell you off the air.
And they were coming in from all over the world. Matt in Denmark.
I'm going to bet that you're going to say it on the air at some point.
Yeah, no, I won't.
Probably.
Matt in Denmark apparently was one of them. He says it was fantastic to be able to watch the preseason game on Patriots.com in setup, and the setup worked great. I would have just liked to see a bit more of Paul and Andy, actually just have them as commentators through the entire game.
I agree.
Anyway, two questions. How much playing time do you guys think Brady will see in the next three preseason games? Well, this one, maybe
a little,
not
a lot,
so much.
None.
I think he might get to the second quarter in this one.
Yeah, maybe a little bit more than Friday.
Then come out in the
quarter,
half in the third.
Half.
And then
nothing in the fourth.
Right.
Then he'll be checking out girls on the sideline again.
When is Denner due in court, and do you expect the league to sanction him even if he is found not guilty?
He has a hearing the 27th?
27th of August.
And then the other one has been pushed way back.
The other one's October 8th.
Yeah. I mean, these keep
putting back. Which also is a two... You know, here's another one that's... You know how I often...
Paul looks like he's ready to rant.
Do you know how, like, people have sort of said... It seems like the people in Nebraska have it out for him.
Right.
I think it's the complete opposite.
Seems like they're helping him out. They keep pushing.
They keep
pushing
later.
It's all going to be the offseason.
I mean, his jail time was given when it was the most convenient for him. He didn't even have to miss any of the offseason program.
Right.
With the original jail time. Now, he gets his hearing. It's October 8th. You know that's a Tuesday.
Oh.
Player's off day.
Yeah.
So he could conceivably go and
not
be back
miss any
and miss
or anything.
Nothing.
Fly out Monday night, be back Tuesday night.
I mean, I think it's...
But he does have the hearing.
To suggest that they have it out for him in Nebraska is, to me, laughable.
And here is what I learned from watching the Eagles game on Patriots.com. Andy really does have a big head. That's Matt in Denmark.
I kind of did notice. When they made us sit real close to each other, my head is significantly larger than yours.
It's a good shot of us, though.
We did look good.
You know?
I was surprised how good we looked.
I mean, I could hear, like, what's that? Macklemore and Ryan Lewis playing in the background. You know, that new song that he has about being gay.
Oh.
Yeah, that was me and Andy.
In the third grade.
Yeah.
Let's go to Chester in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you doing? You get this place needs a little energy, so I want to pop in real quick, you know. In typical Chester fashion, I caught the game at the bar, and we didn't have Patriots.com at my disposal, so I tried to go with curse words, and so much for that. That went up in smoke.
I know.
Some technical difficulties there, but, we had the national broadcast with NFL Network. I did catch a couple clips of you guys. You know, you look good. Definitely resemble the two guys in the Muppet Show on the balcony, as a couple of the fans have been saying.
Right. Statler and Waldorf.
Really good work, you know. And I just wanted to say real quick, you know, I got a beef with my boy Chris with a TIA in here, you know, ragging on people getting on top of the running game bandwagon. You know, does this kid understand, and I say this with respect because I love this guy, but does he understand, you know, how he won three rings in the first place? You know, we won them with a solid ground game, and I'm not saying we didn't have that before with Ridley, Vereen, you know, et cetera, but, you know, we need an anchor in there. We need a bruiser, and I'm right now I got one foot on the brake pumping, and I got one fist in the air pumping, saying, run that rock. Let's keep the ground game. You know, we saw if Malik could have completed anything, with that coverage shifting with that ground game, you know, I just think, you know, we would have seen more points, but, you know, feeling good about that. Want to know kind of what your thoughts are on that end. And I'm a big fan of Plunk. Let's keep this ball rolling. You guys take it easy. Over
okay,
now.
Chester.
All right.
Thanks
All right,
for
Chester.
Calling in.
He's talking about the running back, Fred Blunt.
Yeah. I certainly would like if they could run the ball as effectively as they throw the ball. I just like balanced offense. I know some people just like to see passing game and, you know, go with your strength. But well, I think it helps. It benefits you if you can do both things.
Well, look,
equally.
Belichick even said it's always good if he can run the ball. If the threat nowadays, you know, it's the opposite of what it was 30 years, you know, the threat to throw. If you have the threat to run, it keeps them honest. And that doesn't mean you're a running team. It's more of proving that you can run when they think you're going to run. The Patriots haven't done that up to this season for a long time. Maybe they can this year. I don't know.
I would even say against a good defense. I'm not even sure whether they think.
Right.
Just against a good defense.
Well,
if I need to run in an AFC title game, can I run?
Well, that's the thing. Think of it the other side.
Can you get
the
yards
Patriots,
on the goal line?
The Patriots over the last, you know, X amount of years have had a pretty good run defense. When running teams come in, we've always given the Patriots the check mark there that, hey, you know the Patriots at least are going to be able to stop the run. And that's the key. Against a team like the Patriots, can the Patriots run the ball? You know, teams that get that check mark in that box, can they run the ball? And we'll see. Up to this point, I don't think that's been the case. They've had good numbers running, attempts, yards, but it doesn't come, you know, exactly when another team expects it. You know, they spread them out and, you know.
I get the whole, you know, like Andy said, in an AFC championship game, can you run it if you have to? And look,
or a Super Bowl.
I think it's great if you can do the more things you can do well, obviously, the more beneficial it is. But to me, if you can't throw the football in today's NFL, you can't win.
But we know they can throw the football.
No. I understand that. I understand that. I don't think they need to run it better to win. They need to play defense better to win. That's how I feel. Yeah. And I don't think if you look at the teams that have won over the last several years, there's not a running team among them. Now, there's some teams that run it in a way, you know, like San Francisco with Kaepernick that adds to your running. That I'm sort of putting that in a little bit of a different category.
Oh, but Frank Gore is the heart of that running attack. It's not Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, I know, but they run out of unconventional sets. And until they put Kaepernick in, they did not score points.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
You think they scored until Kaepernick became
the quarterback? No, I think they lined up and ran the damn football with Frank Gore.
And not productively. You got yards, but not points. That's why they replaced their quarterback. They could win games only one way.
But that's not the ground
20
game
17.
Problem.
No, I understand that. But that's my point, Andy.
But they were a run-based team for the last 2 years.
And you can be extremely successful running the football. You can't win like that. That's my point.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
Oh, no, I know you don't agree.
Because I think they're very similar to the Patriots.
There's virtually nobody on the cusp of winning the Super Bowl for two years on their defense.
Well, because of whatever. To say you can't win if you're not... defense is good. If the Patriots had a better defense or a better running game, they would have beaten the Giants. I think one of those two things could have beaten the Giants in 07. One of the two. I'm not saying which one I need, but give me one of them.
I hear both sides, and it was interesting because Matt Chatham, speaking of the broadcast, was on yesterday with Salk.
And he articulated the perceptual point, coherently speaking.
He made an adjective out of a word that's not one.
But they had a good conversation about, you know, teams that are perceived to be running and teams that are not and all that and the pistol and, you know, the run option. And Chatham made the point. He's like, look, this run option.
Read option.
More teams are doing it, but it's not new. It's nothing new. It's basically a high school offense.
But it's new to the NFL.
Well, it's new.
The NFL hasn't been doing it.
That's contrarian for the sake of being contrarian.
No, but listen, you're not letting me finish. The point he made that one of the reasons where it works is when you have a guy like Kaepernick or RG3 or Russell Wilson who are really good, you still have to be a good quarterback in order in the NFL for it to work.
But
if you're not a good quarterback, the read option is very, once you prepare for it,
Tom Brady's the best quarterback in football. He can't run the read option.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about.
So you have to be a good athlete. Don't tell me you have to be a good quarterback.
And Andy's right. It's new to the NFL. It might not be a new offense, but it's new to the NFL.
Chatham's point is you can prepare for it and you can stop it. It's not like, how do you stop the read option? It's
obviously.
Not, yeah, it's not, you know.
But when something's new and different, it takes a while for players to get used to it. Vince Wilfork hasn't played the option significantly for his entire career. You know, they got the little wildcat thing that they do. But there are players that have gone a decade without having to deal with the option. Yes, those same players played it in high school.
But if that quarterback,
there's a difference between now doing it.
Yeah, if that quarterback doesn't have the threat to throw, if he's not a good passer, then in the NFL, the read option ain't going to work.
Well, yeah, I think that gets back to Paul's point. Whatever you run it out of, whether it's traditional or non-traditional, if you can't throw and complete passes, you won't win in the NFL.
Yeah, and that's all I'm trying to say. And I understand Andy's point, and we disagree on this, and we've had many conversations about this off the air. So it's kind of for us, it's a tired argument. But
Paul hates running games.
He
likes the star guy.
Wait a minute.
He wants Bledsoe to throw a bomb to Terry Glenn, and everybody rejoices.
Take the defense part out of that. Because I think that's the drawback. I think is that if you can't stop somebody, at least a little. Now, there's no great defenses anymore, but San Francisco was good on defense, and that allowed them to run the ball and shorten the game and win 20-17. Jim Harbaugh decided, I can't win like this, and I can't win it all like this. If I can't get to 30 consistently, I can't win it all. That's why he made the change last year, I'm convinced.
Well, they saw in
Baltimore
that thing that got him over the hump.
Baltimore was also on the cusp. And how many years in a row they fall short? They fall short.
McCurdy.
They fall short. Just trying to hand the ball to Ray Rice and play defense. They decided we're going to go with a hurry-up offense. Now, listen, it wasn't, smooth sailing all year. They had their ups and downs during the course of the season. They got over the hump when their quarterback played out of his mind in the playoffs. And that's how you win. I don't think you can just hand the ball off. And Frank Gore is tremendous. Andy's absolutely right. He's a terrific running back, and that's what that offense is based out of. But if they didn't get Kaepernick in there to start making some plays for them downfield, they would not have gotten over the hump. They'll never win anything. The Vikings will never win anything.
And they've got the best running back in the league.
Because they don't have a guy who can throw it even a little.
Right, but what if they get a quarterback?
Oh, then it's a whole different story.
Then it's a whole different thing.
I thought you were saying, like, in Adrian Peterson's career, they will not win.
If he's the centerpiece of everything they do on offense, they will not win a title. That's my opinion. That's where you and I disagree. I mean, that's okay. We could do that.
I think you have to do a few things well. Literally, a few things well.
It's
a mosaic of things.
Exactly.
Yeah, well,
let's
pull in a few.
But Andy, let's have Adrian Peterson be part of our offense. That's what I'm saying.
Paul's saying if you're a run dominant offense, you can't win.
Yeah. See, I don't agree with that.
Well,
it's been a while.
You have timely.
It's been a while since you've been
and you get a guy who makes plays, timely plays. Not a great passing attack. I don't think you need to throw for a ton. I think you're going to see it more and more,
obviously.
But
you might have to go back to those Patriots teams to find the last one that was really a run, you know, more of a run-oriented attack.
It's also where the league went. It went to
Manning
and Brady. The league is at a point now where...
No, but what you're missing also is this new age quarterback. None of them are great passers. I don't want anybody to sell me on any of them are great passers, because they're not. They're great passers for the guys who have the unique running skills to go with the passing.
Right.
Like, I'm not sold on Kaepernick or Kaepernick, whatever you want to call him.
Right.
I am not sold on him as a passer.
Yeah.
I think he's a functional passer along with his athletic abilities and the rest
of
his game.
If you asked him to be a dropback passer like in Brady's offense,
right.
I don't think he'd be very good.
Well, again,
he's functional,
if the threat for him running, if you take that away, then you're right. He doesn't
become. Well, I'm saying if you put him in the Patriots offense, you just ask him to drop back.
Heading into his third season, he could develop. I mean, he could become a much better passer.
But I think the other two guys, RG3 and Wilson, I think are pretty accurate passers.
They're fine. I think Wilson is arguably the most overrated player in football, and you may see that in
that's
weeks.
The thing. You know, he's still 5'11", and I think that teams are going to figure him out, I think.
It's such flavors of the month.
Well, what's to figure out?
And what they're doing on offense, you know, what the Seattle Seahawks are trying to do on offense. And they're another team that...
But, I mean, are they running like a gimmick offense that's going to get figured out?
But you get him
on... I mean,
on
you could say that, like what Andy says is you don't think he's that good.
Yeah.
And now that, you know, you think he played out of his ass last year.
Not out of his ass.
That's different.
I tend to think if you give a good quarterback, a solid guy, not a great guy, not a guy you should be talking about all the time, a great defense and a good running game, you're going to be good. That's what I mean. You have to have different pieces coming together.
Right. Well, anytime a team knows what's coming, they can stop
like Washington.
It.
Yeah. If you give a lot of guys a 1,500-yard rusher, the quarterback gets better. It's just a natural progression in the way things work.
Yeah.
And like San Francisco, I think if you threw Colin Kaepernick on another team, he could have absolutely pooped himself. But he was better than the last guy working with the running game and the defense. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, yep. No, there's no doubt that one makes the other better.
Listen,
you know?
I would absolutely acknowledge that it's a simplistic view that I have. I believe it. I honestly do, that you need to throw. And those teams... You can only get so far. I think Adrian Peterson, if you want to beat the centerpiece, I don't think you can win like that. I really don't. Not unless absolutely everything else is perfect. You have this lockdown defense and a quarterback who never makes a mistake and is able to, as Andy said, make a couple of timely throws.
Your margin of error is so small over the last decade with this Patriots defense. How many games have we gone in where they had a young quarterback and the Patriots just dared them to throw and they did it? And they, you know, some guy would come in and torch the Patriots because they said, we're going to just stop your run because we don't think you can throw. And then they did. And now it's a ball game. You know, that happened too often with this defense, you know, so.
Yeah, but not all in Andy's defense, not all defenses have been as bad as the Patriots have been recently.
No, but I'm just saying teams will, you know, if you don't have the threat to pass, they don't respect you, like
last year the Patriots were terrific running the ball statistically. Last year New Orleans was the year they won the Super Bowl. They were very good running the ball statistically. I don't think they were a running team, but Pierre Thomas had a solid year that season. I mean, if you look at the numbers, they were probably like New England's were last year.
In this league, the threat to pass opens up the offense, not the threat to run.
There's a lot of different ways to win. I will say that in Andy's defense. I look at it in a very closed-minded way, much like I look at a lot of things.
Let's see.
True.
Bad Kevin writes in, just wanted to weigh in on a few opinions from Friday. I'm going to do these chronologically. One, the Patriots pregame social, first-time listener, I will never miss that again, let alone be late. Wow, good. That's a big compliment.
Mark Bertrand,
who was late, by the way. Missed the first half hour.
I was going to ask, when did he actually get here?
Half hour in.
He missed the first segment.
Yeah.
I thought he did a really nice job having sort of an instant good feel for...
People liked him. They liked him.
But he seemed to know when to talk and when to analyze, because he brought some analysis to the table. And then I thought he did a good job of Paul and I, one of us was ranting, he kind of backed off and let us rant and then came back
in. Let us take our pants off.
We didn't have our pants on.
Yeah, I heard that was going on here.
We had to change.
We had to get changed for
TV. I don't
know
if you know, but we went right from radio to TV.
Oh.
And then we went to a paper.
I'm going to put my jar out again because I want to reiterate what Andy just said. 2 hours of radio, 3 hours of TV. Then we had to do the paper.
5 hours into our workday, we started doing what we get paid to do.
Andy's jar is Fred's version of,
So otherwise you'd be home?
What?
Wait, what?
If you weren't doing that, you'd be home?
No, but I could have actually thought about what I was going to write and things of that nature. We were 5 hours in before the paycheck started cha-chinging.
I was still working on stuff when you guys got home. I didn't like
Paul didn't like it. He usually naps.
We also got home early.
You did, very.
Yeah. Towards the end of PPGS, I was watching NFL Network pregame show with Warren Sapp. I swear he is still hungover from the Hall of Fame inductions. He made himself seem like a total tool when he was asked about who Tom Brady was going to throw the ball to this year. And he said something about Amendola, then said, Michael Jenkins, you better show up, big fella. Does this douchebag pay attention to anything? It made me totally discredit anything else that came out of his mouth. I haven't heard you guys mention Jenkins in several days, if not weeks.
He just came back yesterday to practice.
And I mean, he's still not really
and
bad.
But in Warren Sapp's really defense, anything. I don't think he's listening to Andy, Eric, and Paul's the podcasts every day.
Well, he should be.
If he happened to read ESPN Boston during the spring, you would have thought Jenkins was on pace to be the number two receiver.
Very encouraged by our offensive number ones.
Defense
doesn't concern me because it's the same as the past several years. Four, I literally laughed out loud on Mallett's first throw. Hey, Paul, guess what? It was behind the receiver and high. I swore out loud and scared the crap out of my wife. That effing Paul Perilla was right again.
You know what the problem? He did it again today.
You know,
although
what the
problem today is? was on target, just like 100 miles an hour right at Ben Bartholomew.
His crappy play got overshadowed by his injury and Tebow playing. You know, lost in that was
did you
the
think
fact
he was as bad as everybody made him out to be?
I thought he sucked. If you can't hit Boyce,
it didn't get overshadowed.
If you can't
terrible.
Hit Boyce for a touchdown,
yeah.
When you already have accuracy problems, you must maximize your opportunities.
Oh, especially,
because you're not good like Brady. You're not going to hit the tight one.
Just as bad with some of his completions.
Yeah, especially with a guy like Boyce, who was, it's not like he had a yard or two step on a receiver.
There was no one there.
There was
no
one there. Blown coverage. There.
It was completely
blown coverage.
Wide open.
And that was pitch and catch.
So you have no backup quarterbacks.
Number 5 out of 6. How long Hopefully do we have to endure Tebow? I have held my comments on him until now. You know, the whole Bill I trust thing, but I do not want to be the 2011 Broncos if Brady goes down. And 6, okay, Patriots post-game show. It is a great show for fans to chime in, vent, give opinions, etc. I would have loved to set an over-under on how many times Mark with a C gave the toll-free number, the local number, the email address, his Twitter. It seemed very repetitive to the point that I almost turned it off. I get it that he has to give out the info, but damn, he did it way too much. There was one time that he did toll-free number twice, email twice, Twitter 3 times, and then the toll-free twice again. Hey, Mark with a C, read a freaking email, read a tweet, take a call. We know the number by now, 1-855-PATS-500. Get on with the show. So maybe he wasn't getting a lot of calls. That might have been
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Preseason is not the most interactive
and
time.
And it was late.
Yeah. Right.
So, but like everything else, it was his first show, you know.
Bad Kevin, though. I mean, he's usually kind of a DB, and that was a lot of positive feedback for some of the
stuff.
So can we just have a quick...
Hold on, Brian.
Did you explain to your fans what happened? To
for
your curse
words? Well, we were doing all right.
He had the blue screen of death.
Everything was fine, and then, that was the first thing. My computer had the blue screen of death shut down, so I rebooted everything up, got back on, started using it, and then it just went to a crawl.
I know. I liked how you wrote it slow.
I would post something in like 2 minutes later it would appear and it was just ridiculous.
Plus he was typing into the little box and he'd type and then he'd look up and there's still white
it
screen.
Wasn't keeping
and then,
up.
No, it was like 30 seconds before the letters actually started to
Now is this your here. Computer issue or is this a
good people that cover it live. Yeah, I got in touch with them. It was not network connectivity because everyone around me had a great connection and I was watching live video, so
yeah.
I think it was Internet Explorer, one of those crappy Microsoft products. They recommended I go to, I don't care. They recommended I go to Chrome.
That's what I had to do. Yeah. It's much better.
But last year, my preferred, browser, but last year it wasn't compatible, but they had an upgrade. Now it's compatible with Chrome.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll give it another shot next game. I'll use Chrome and we'll see what happens. Plus we'll be here at Gillette with, you know.
Speaking of, you know, technology and
with narrow
competing
bandwidth.
Companies, have
the
you
best
seen
bandwidth
the,
in the NFL? What
have you seen the trailers for the Steve Jobs movie?
Yes.
You're going to see it?
Yeah. I read the book. You know.
Yeah, I know. But Ashton Kutcher's playing Steve Jobs.
I don't
Jobs.
Like Ashton Kutcher.
He decided. Looks like Steve Jobs in this movie.
Yeah, he does.
Like
he does.
I don't like.
By the way, I watched Oblivion on demand with Tom Cruise.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Good. I thought it was a good movie.
Morgan Freeman?
Yeah, right? Morgan Freeman. I thought it was a nice little story.
Was it?
Yeah, and the effects were amazing. But okay.
That's all he cares about.
Oblivion. I like it.
While we're going through this crap, very exciting, all the new video ribbon boards here at the stadium that they've been testing. That's a lot of board.
Oh, yeah.
And bright.
It's a lot of digital.
Lights up the whole sky at night.
Yeah.
And they're digitizing the billboards and the skylights.
Yeah, those won't be in for the first preseason game, but all the ribbon boards will be. Yeah,
season snuck up on us again.
Brian, thanks for holding on while we got that out of the way. How you doing?
Yeah, I was good. I stayed quiet. I tried to.
You did. You did a good job.
Did you teach Paul how to do that?
So, Bad Kevin just stole my thunder to the point I almost wanted to hang up while I was on hold.
No, there's room for more praise.
Well, because, I mean, I got you guys, like, opposing teams should actually listen to the podcast because you nailed Mallett right on the head. Like, that was exactly how the throws were. They were all slow and behind the receiver. And I would take that prediction of, like, many interceptions if he had to play a season. I don't even think he'd have receivers by the end of the season.
Yeah. Well, that is how you get a guy killed.
He'd also get some guys killed over the middle.
Yeah. I mean, I was screaming. I was like, I don't want these rookies out there trying to get jobs. By trying to get his ball.
Yeah. Wait, are you saying that teams can't learn this by listening to Mike Lombardi on the NFL Network or Adam Schefter on SportsCenter when they're saying that, you know, Mallett is the hot trade bait?
Taking a lot of shots at people today.
Check.
Precisely
check.
What I'm saying.
If you have agendas and people notice it, isn't it okay to point them out?
I think he's just going for it. You know what? That's it. I'm just going to go for it.
Who, Andy?
Andy.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
I'm all in.
I'm not at that point in life where I can just go for it.
No. You don't have the FU money yet?
I've always said, when I retire, I will be buying a Dooley F-250 with a big bar thing on the front, because I'm going to do that as a driver. Just go for it. If you cut me off, I'm going through you. If you slow down in front of me, I'm going through you. But I'm not at that point in my life yet.
Jeez.
So
I didn't mean killing people.
Is this when you're en route to being off the grid?
Yes.
Okay.
There's a new organization I need to look up that you can join for that. I'm intrigued.
NAMBLA?
Wow.
You guys are out of roll.
All right, sorry. Good.
That's the Northeastern Basketball Association.
I'll let you guys finish the show up.
He doesn't want to interrupt.
I can't contribute anymore.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
Can't keep up.
Thanks, Brian.
Oh,
man. You're unbelievable, Fred.
Patrick and Agawam. Hey, crew, just a quick email here. I thought your panel was great on Friday. To anyone who ran their mouths about you guys, they're probably either just intimidated or jealous that they had actual experts on the broadcast, guys who actually follow the team and watch practices for as much as Belichick will allow. Not just
that's true. Imagine if Bill got on us. I'm hearing that you guys are really giving good scouting reports on our play. You got to knock it off.
not just talking heads
that
who fabricate stories.
That would be extremely typical. Right. We finally did something right and still got in trouble for it.
Ixnay on the Allet May. not just talking heads who fabricate storylines or guys who argue just for the sake of arguing. Great job. Can't wait to see the broadcast next Thursday night. Thursday he will. The only thing I would have liked to see was Paul and Andy get into it a little bit, but overall, it was better than any preseason game commentator-wise that I've seen since they started broadcasting games out there in Western Mass in 2002. So keep up the great work and F the naysayers.
Western Mass just got television in 2002.
Well, I don't think they had the preseason games out there.
What did anybody on Hawaii think? I always find it interesting that we're on in Hawaii.
Yeah. TV or just the radio?
Yeah, I thought that was
radio. I think we might have an affiliate in Alaska, too.
Yeah.
Really?
For radio, right?
Oh, is it just radio?
I think it's radio.
Yeah, I thought that was just radio stuff. But by the way, how did Bob Sosi do?
Why is Troy Brown asking how Bob Sosi did?
As opposed to Kermit the Frog.
Well, that would be in line with the Muppet Show.
Oh, I just heard he had his voice is a little higher, or much higher than Gil, so it's a big difference.
Is it? I want to listen this week during the game in the press box.
I didn't notice. We just had a nice discussion with him in the press box, but...
Yeah, when he
was asking us how we felt, and
I think the consensus between him and the people involved in that were that it was a slow start, but they got better during the broadcast.
Yeah,
so they were making progress in game, which is good.
It must be nerve wracking. It really does. You know,
well, he's a professional.
No, he is, but still,
unlike us,
this is the first time he's done, you know, a pro team.
No, I know, but he's done like Navy Notre Dame and stuff like that. I mean,
yeah,
he's done
a
big game.
There's no difference there.
Army Navy's a big game.
Now, I mean, there's that excitement / nervousness that comes with anything new. So clearly it's his first game in a new job. You want to make
Navy?
A good first impression.
He's probably on like the Armed Forces Radio Network. There's probably like
all
millions
over the world.
Of people listening.
Sure. In terms of what he's actually doing, Notre Dame Navy is not any different than what he's doing here. But I agree with you, Fred. That first game with the Patriots.
It's a new audience.
It's a new audience.
Right, it's a new
you
venue.
You want to make a good first impression.
We have a behind the scenes that I can't believe I waited this long to tell. Paul had too many Pepsis before the broadcast.
He had a pee.
Midway through the second quarter, he's literally, I gotta go to the bathroom. I don't know if, he's talking to Matt McClain, and he's like, figuring out as literally as soon as we go off the air how he can run out, rip the microphones off, and run to the bathroom. He was bouncing. I thought he was gonna piss himself. Literally, I was worried.
If you wanna go completely behind the scenes, this is what happened. After the radio show was over, I wanted to go to the bathroom then, because that's when I had to go.
They should have this segment brought to you by Flomax, and you see the empty chair where Paul was.
He had to go before.
But
we
I
went
needed
on.
To go after the radio show. I just went, just like that. I needed to go just now after the radio show. We needed to do this setup thing, the thing that Andy and I had the very awkward lean toward each other. We had to set that up. So we had about 15 minutes, maybe, before the game started.
Yes.
Well, the real behind-the-scenes thing is it took a little while to get the right take.
They were taping
the
open.
And okay, so Andy and I had to be here throughout the entire time because they wanted to go to that and have us in that pose. So needless to say, it took four takes. So that basically ate up the entire pregame period that we had from post-radio show to the start of the game on TV. So now I had to wait, and I said, well, all right, that's not a problem. I can wait. By the middle of the second quarter, I thought it was going to come out of my ears.
I really thought he was going to piss him. Like, just the look on his face was like he was legitimately worried that he could pee himself.
Well, I'll tell you what I was really worried, that I wasn't going to be able to go at halftime because they needed us at halftime.
Right.
Or, you know, Matt was going to say, do you really have to? I mean, I don't want to unplug everything. But it was no problem. We had plenty of time at halftime.
Awesome.
That's what I was worried about.
Get the Wes Welker Depends.
It's like Poppy on Seinfeld when he's
a little sloppy.
Yeah. Bobby writes in, hey, Bobby, first time emailer, I've been listening for a couple of years now, and you guys are the best. Nobody else gets close to the depth of coverage. First off, I was trying to figure out what was strange about Andy and Paul's preseason segments. I think aside from the red leather chairs, which made them look like two guys watching the game at a strip club.
And where did they come from, quick interjection?
Like, Furniture, right?
No, I know, but I left here on Wednesday, and the black chairs were quote-unquote in.
Right.
Where did the black and how did the red?
I don't know. What happened to the black chairs?
Right.
I don't know. Anyway, to continue, he said, the big issue was the lack of microphones. Most guys down in the field have a stick mic, while the guys up in the booth will sometimes have headsets or stick mics or at least a nice suit. This kind of left Andy and Paul's hands wandering, sometimes resting on their laps or on the arms of the chairs. The body language of that position does not suggest expert. I think it does a slight disservice to both of you, given the fact that out of the entire broadcast, I bet no one really comes close to the top-to-bottom knowledge that you guys have of the Patriots roster at this stage of the year. So, yeah, maybe try to get some stick mics up there.
I don't know if it's the stick mics. I do think I think we should be standing with something between us, a small table or a screen that, I think we should be standing, and I think the analysis would look better.
I think you're right.
But again, this whole thing is a work in progress.
Right.
Where we shoot it, how we shoot it, what angle, you know, some people were complaining about there was a lack of backlight or this and that.
I think you should stand, when they do your segment, you should stand next to a screen or something.
And maybe that'll come, I don't know, but. Yeah.
Anyway, my question is this. I understand Blount's 51-yard
Blount!
I understand.
We did a cover that makes no sense if it's Black Force.
Can I just explain one thing as to why it's a big deal? We were getting criticized the other night for calling him Blunt.
Right.
But I know
criticized
that.
By who?
Idiots.
People who listen to Fred call him Blount and think that's how it's pronounced.
Dumbass DBs like Kurt Minahan.
No, but when we put it on the cover, Andy was like, oh, people are going to call...
I don't know.
We put Blunt Force on the cover.
F him.
And Andy was like, oh, people are going to call him Blount and they won't get it. Right?
Right. Because of you.
Anyway...
It's Blunt. What? How do you say his first name?
LeGarrette.
Oh, wow. You mastered it. Didn't you say, like, LeGarrette?
LeGarrette.
The green LeGarrette.
At the cabaret. I understand his 51-yarder was an aberration, but if he were to continue to improve and show himself during preseason, do you think there's any chance we would wind up trading him, given our relative depth at running back?
Sure, anything's possible, but...
I don't think so.
Not an aberration, 51-yarder. The way he ran it, aberration. He's had long runs all along his career, including multiple 50s in Tampa early in his career when he was a 1,000-yard back. He had like a 5-point-something average for his 1,000-yard season. He can finish runs when he wants to.
Basement
he just won't
boy.
Do it like that.
I also think they kind of like him from what they've seen so far.
I think he's on the team.
I don't think they want to trade him. I mean, just because a guy shows a little flash doesn't mean you have to hurry up and
trade. We've talked about before when they've had 5 running backs. How are they going to? And they've used every one of them.
Well, but the problem is if you have 5 running backs, 3 quarterbacks, 5 tight ends or 4 tight ends, however Gronkowski fits in, now you have multiple positions that seem to have an abundance of numbers. Where do the numbers come from?
True.
And Gronk's, you know, situation is big in that because if he's on PUP, that allows you to keep an extra tight end.
I'm leaning that way.
Because if Gronk is on the roster to open the season, say he misses the first 3 or 4 games.
Takes up 2 roster spots.
That's 2 roster spots because you have to keep an extra tight end to play for him.
Throw some guy on that IR thing.
Oh, Paulie.
That doesn't help you keep a guy to play.
Yeah, that makes it 8 weeks.
Our whole our theory about James Devlin, the guy didn't even suit up in the first game, and he was a healthy scratch. He practiced every day.
He couldn't have possibly been a healthy scratch. But
he had to have something
that prevented him from playing that night. You don't just have a healthy scratch.
Yeah, no, I know, but that's what I thought was weird. He practices all week. He doesn't play, and he's back out there immediately the next practice.
Yeah, no, there's something that Andy and I talked about in the radio show when you guys were going over all the players that weren't dressed.
Mm.
It's unfortunate because I think he had opportunity. I mean, that's a big game for him.
Yeah.
The first preseason game when there's a lot of snaps to be had. But, I can't imagine that he just didn't play.
JM writes in, I have heard you say that fans could watch the preseason game on Patriots.com. Was this only for the New England and international areas? I'm in Florida and did not see anywhere on the site to watch the game at the time. The only place to click on to watch the game took you to the NFL.com site, which asked for payment. Can you clarify this? I would love to be able to watch the game on Patriots.com if this is possible. I don't know. We had a thing on the side of the homepage that said watch the game. And you click on that, and it opened up the player right below where it said listen to the game, where you could listen to the radio broadcast. But for this game and for the games 3 and 4, you'll be able to watch it on Patriots.com. For the next game, preseason game 2, you won't be able to because that's a national broadcast.
But you can watch it on Fox.
You can watch it on Fox.
In the North Americans.
So if you're in Florida, you won't be have to.
The North Americans?
You won't be have to.
If your house didn't fall into a sinkhole and you're in Florida. Another reason, by the way, Florida sucks and stinks. Your house could just fall into the earth one day.
You know, so I don't know what you missed, but it said watch it. So
that was in Claremont, by the way. That's where my parents' house was.
Oh, is that right?
It just sold.
Wow.
It's near the BJ's.
Yeah, I was talking to Vince about it.
We were talking to Vince about it.
He goes, near the BJ's.
We were describing where it was, and he goes, oh, that's down there by the BJ's.
John writes in, I'll echo the compliments on Paul and Andy's TV appearance. You guys make the preseason games more watchable. I was wondering how many Rutgers alumni will be on the field this Friday. It'll have to be a record for the NFL. Also, is there any possibility that some deal between Belichick and Schiano is a part of the Rutgers drafting preference? Did Tlaib's trade come with some side deal related to helping out Schiano's former players? Just wondering about that. Looking forward to Friday night's broadcast.
No.
Although I wouldn't.
Yeah. What do we have? What were we, 18? 9-9?
Well,
9-9.
18.
Not to mention the coaches.
No.
And don't forget, Friday night's broadcast is not with Paul and Andy.
Yeah, it's a national broadcast on Fox.
Just so everybody is clear.
Moose. Kenny Albert and Moose Johnston.
Moose. They're not booing.
there.
Well, Paul will be, but, you know.
Why?
Because we're not on.
Oh, that's true. We do need FaceTime. I wish somebody who didn't listen to this show and wasn't related to us and didn't work for the Patriots would praise us.
Yeah. Because as much as I appreciate all the nice words that people have had, I haven't really heard anything nice from anybody that I didn't know.
Like Mike Florio. I want an a-hole who hates us to say we did a good job.
Right.
But well, not many people hate us.
Obviously, they couldn't find the button on Patriots.com would allow them to watch.
Well, they didn't know where it was either.
Stripper says, when I saw Ridley hit the wall in that run, my mind instantly brought up his Facebook post of the junk food he enjoys. Did Ridley put on weight? Someone on PFW Elite Facebook page said he put on 10 pounds of muscle. He could have put on 10 pounds, but it's not muscle. I don't know.
I do not know specifically. I will tell you, one of our complaints of him last year was an inability to finish runs. He did not have his longest run was 41 yards last year. He had the opportunity to turn the corner, beat some corners and safeties, and have big plays that, as I said on the aforementioned television broadcast, when you get a couple of those, all of a sudden your 1,200 jumps up a couple hundred yards through, you know, 380-yard runs or something. Now you become an elite running back in the National Football League. And I mean, based on what we've seen, he's not making that jump this year based on that first run. I mean, the first opportunity, first play of the game to go 60, and he looked like, you know, Fourier said piano, I said refrigerator jumped on. Something jumped on there about 40 yards into that run.
Steven writes in, hey, guys, love the comparison of Paul and Andy, so Statler and Waldorf. Question.
Which one am I? Waldorf?
I don't think it matters.
Yeah,
really.
It doesn't really
matter. No, one has dark hair, one has white hair.
One has a white mustache and, like,
bigger
gray
head,
hair on the side. That's me.
The photos that people sent in, like, line up perfectly. The bigger, darker head is me. The lighter, whiter head is Paul. Like, it's perfect.
Question. The Patriots have Gronk on PUP and Armstead on non-football injury list, actually.
Illness
list. Is there a difference starting on PUP and starting in NFI if both start the season as currently listed, or do both convert to PUP and only one can be activated 6 weeks later?
The difference is pay.
Yeah.
If you're on NFI, the team does not have to pay you.
Right.
Because it
and
was
have
not
we same, heard about same rules, at all?
Just the statement that the team issued.
No timetable.
Yeah, nothing since then.
For all we know, I won't say it.
Yeah. P.S.
The funeral was last week, and we'll get like a release later.
See now,
I'm glad you wouldn't say it.
Right.
No, but it's serious. Like, it's
I know.
Weird.
It is weird.
But in terms of the football, it's the same. It's the 6 week minimum. If you open the season on one of those lists, 6 weeks minimum.
Right. P.S. Shout out to Eric. Thought of you when I saw a clip of the Untouchables. Something I thought you would want to check out if you haven't already. Is it? He says Untouchables, 2012 movie.
Well, it might be Untouchables then.
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
Because Untouchables is old.
Untouchables
right?
is the
Untouchables, the classic.
Kevin Costner movie.
Yeah. Didn't even have everything.
Was that a shot at Eric that went wrong?
Probably. I think it was.
Probably.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
I don't know what that movie's
was
about.
Was it like a girl joke or something?
I don't know.
You know, she's untouchable.
I don't know, but it's obviously
maybe
lame.
Maybe it's a porn.
Obviously lame.
No, it would be a terrible porn if it was Untouchables.
What's let's this? See. Alex.
Porn music, I think.
Yeah.
Didn't that used to be like our open or something? Or?
It was an open for something.
We
something.
Used that for something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was your word of the day. Your
Urban Dictionary.
Oh, that's appropriate.
Yeah.
The old Abe Lincoln.
Old Cleveland steamer. You know it when you see it or hear it. Alex from Philly. When I took what I took from the game, Tebow stinks. The running game looks great. The young receivers look good. And the offense in general looks like business as usual.
Dang.
I did see some pass rush, but nothing to make me start naming co-defensive players of the year. Coverage was
That's week two preseason when we do that.
Coverage was an issue, so I guess the defense as a whole also looks like business as usual, but it was only one preseason game, so I won't panic just yet. What did you guys think about the pass rush? Did anyone catch your eye? It was great having the Patriots in my city for a week. I found it hilarious that random Eagles were complaining about how the Patriots were bullying them in practice. I guess they're not used to seeing how an elite team works. Glad to see the Jets circus continuing. I'm rooting for Sanchez to win the job because I think that will be better for the Patriots, although Geno seems like a douche. Lastly, I'm relieved to hear Mallett is okay. Him being injured would be a catastrophic blow to this team because it would mean that Tebow would be only a Brady injury away from starting for us, which is my worst nightmare.
Now, are we going to hold Patriots fans to this? That
what?
If something happens and in October it's Tebow and they're running the Broncos, you know, it's an option scheme, it's running the ball, are they going to rip it and say they hate it, and, or are they going to, like, jump on the bandwagon.
If he wins, they're going to jump on
right,
the bandwagon.
They're all frauds.
If they win.
Yeah.
I would be a fraud if I continued to say he stinks if he
well, what's win?
Came in and won.
Is 9 and
no,
7
nine
winning?
No, 9 and 7's not winning.
Is losing 3 in a row to back in the
when
playoffs
you haven't won,
winning?
When you haven't won less than 12 games in like 8 years, 9 and 7 does not qualify as winning.
Okay. I just want to hold you and fans
it's
and
like,
everybody.
It's like 2008 when they went 11 and 5, 5 games worse than they had right. been the previous year. No, that doesn't qualify as a good season. Yeah, they did great. They didn't make the playoffs. I wasn't happy with that. I don't know how everybody else felt. I think Bill wanted to make the playoffs. What do you think, Fred?
Yeah.
Look at that. See, Fred, you and I.
Fred, where were you this morning?
What did you think, by the way, of the rookie receivers in the game?
We talked about that this morning.
Huh?
Didn't we talk about that this morning?
Well, you and I did.
Yeah. Not
I thought
on
maybe,
the air.
I thought maybe we
it's a radio show.
No,
we often bring up topics and we discuss them.
When I was filling in for you guys, when you weren't here, I gave my little soliloquy.
Whoa.
I thought they were a little
You weren't filling in. You made us get you lunch.
Why do you
Our
have to
boss,
get so defensive?
Because you make it sound like we were, you know,
you make it sound
not
like we
doing
blew
our
off.
Job.
What was I doing?
You made it sound like we
were filling in until you got here.
But you made
you
it sound like we were
not
blowing off the start of the show. We could have been here on time.
I said one of you can be late to bring me food.
Well, we needed two to be able to carry our own food and your food in multiples.
So I could have gone up to get Fred food, but you wouldn't have been able
right,
to get any.
Right, exactly.
Anyway, I thought that Dobson, 7 targets and only 2 catches.
Eight.
I wasn't crazy. I thought it was 2 out of 7. Anyway,
eight.
You know, I wasn't crazy
eight
about
games,
that.
Eight games, Renee.
I think Tompkins, he did what he was asked. I was pleased with him. I think we'd be talking more about Boyce if Mallett had connected with him. You know, Amendola caught a pass, so it's
yeah,
still,
but I'm not counting.
I mean, the
first Amendola's
drive
not
was
a
all run. That
no, I know.
Amendola's
and
not
the
a rookie, though.
The touchdown catch was by Vereen, so, you know, we still need to see a lot more.
Yeah, I was just talking about the 3 rookies. Yeah, I mean, to me, Dobson was a bit disappointing based on practice.
But that's the only reason why.
Well, yeah.
He was built up to Jerry Rice, and we talked about that on the pregame social. He couldn't live up to the Jerry Rice billing that he had received up until
But if
point.
He had played in practice the way he played in the game, I'd be disappointed. That's
well,
all. You know, I mean, I don't think he had a good game, but we
no,
were expecting
he,
more.
He didn't.
Because of the hype.
I don't think he was
dropping a routine
horrific.
Pass on the sideline to hit him in the chest. That
like
was terrible.
Today? Like you mean
Yes.
Today?
I think he's trending the wrong way.
Ooh, Paul Perillo off the Dobson bandwagon. I asked why you weren't out there, Fred, because you would have loved it. A lot of little wrinkles from the Bucks. They had a big square, maybe 8x10 pad that they did like tackling on where they dove onto the guy and onto the pad. They had a football on a stick for defensive line drills. They had a
yeah.
few different...
Football on a stick.
Oh, they do that. Yeah, high school does that
Eagles
a lot.
Had,
no, it reminded me of the
Eagles
Saturday Night Live
too.
Yeah, I like seeing those little quirky things that other teams do that we don't necessarily
now, what
do
would a team, if we went to there, what would they say that we do that's quirky?
The paddles would
maybe
be
the
one.
Tennis
the square
rackets.
Drills
yeah.
with the
yeah.
paddles.
Although
right.
the Eagles had a different version of the
They
paddles.
Did, and that those were cool.
Yeah,
those
no one
really
took
cool.
a picture.
Yeah,
I wanted a picture.
We couldn't because they cut us off with when we could take pictures.
Even a camera phone, just sneak it.
Wow.
Well, be a pussy.
Wow.
Wow.
Just throwing that word around now.
He taught me to.
Liberally now.
Try doing, actually, you know, one of our colleagues tried to do that during 7-on-7. Which was when they started cutting us off in practice, and some dude from the Eagles PR/security comes running up the
swarm,
stairs.
Swarm.
And, yeah, like jumped in front
yeah,
of him.
But
was
what
like,
you do
no,
is ooh, easy.
There goes our set.
Used to having things,
there goes our set.
What you do is you turn the camera on, and then you pretend you're taking a phone call.
And then you just
turn
it
the right way. And click. If you have to do it a couple times, you know, eventually you'll get it. Yeah, you guys need to learn how to be a little
Freddie on the other side. Kenbrell Tompkins, I think, continues to
yeah make the most every time he's given an opportunity. He makes the
thing.
Most of it, whether it's in practice.
Absolutely
or in the game.
Unbelievable catch he made today for the play of the day.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah, the reach around,
reaching around a
one-handed
defensive back
grab
with one
around
hand.
A defender.
Wow,
it's an amazing
oh,
catch.
Oh yeah,
okay,
very underthrown ball. There looked like the defender was going to get the INT, but nope.
Canadian Mike in Florida says, I have to disagree about everyone's assessment of Mallett in the preseason game. His first series was not that great when they were backed up in their own end zone, but after that, I thought he settled down and played well.
Nice.
The second team O-line didn't really give him a lot of time to throw the ball, but when he did, I thought he made some nice throws. Yes, a few were behind the receivers, but he was usually under
or
duress.
Out of the end zone.
A couple of passes were drops, so I was not so disappointed with him. In addition, I wasn't as disappointed with Tlaib like everyone else was. I thought his coverage on the TD was not that bad, and he should, and should he not have received some safety help from the inside? Gregory was late on coverage because it looked like he had the outside locked up and the pass was perfect. My only real concern in this game was the pass rush.
Well, that was a blitz. So my guess is he didn't have help. I don't know for sure, and he certainly didn't say anything that led you to believe help. He took full blame yesterday.
Yeah.
I forgot how exactly. He had like very short phrases. He got off the line. He did this. He got by me. I couldn't catch up.
He ran
touchdown.
By me, and I couldn't catch up. And the other part of that,
man,
I don't think Tlaib is taking a lot of heat. I mean, he got beat on the play. He didn't play that much.
He's not taking any heat.
They only played about 10
plays. Bill
Belichick
said, you know, he couldn't do anything to defend
it. No, but
it,
I'm saying with
everybody
the,
said he couldn't do anything to defend
I'm
it.
I'm saying with the fans. I don't think there's been a lot of, oh, my God, Tlaib's terrible. No, he got beat on that play. It happens.
Right.
But, you know, he didn't play that much.
He was funny again today, too, talking about the Tampa and, like, you know, it's just work out here, and then I'll holler at you later, bud, or something. Like, he just has these phrases that he throws in that are just he really is one of those guys that if you were a radio gig, you could have him just read, like, straight lines, but the way he says it would become, like, a bit.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He's funny.
All right.
No, well, one
yeah,
more hour.
No,
come
I gotta
on.
Get going. I got stuff to do.
What do you do?
So this stuff apparently only I can do.
What? Count people in line to go
all
to
right,
the party?
All right, that's going to be it for this edition of Web Radio at Patriots.com and PFW in Progress and everything else. We will be back Thursday at our normal time, right?
I don't know. You tell me.
At noon? I would imagine.
Well, oh, yeah. I got to leave.
I got
he ain't even doing the show Thursday.
The schedule
I'm
for
talk
Thursday.
Into doing the show right
the practice schedule for Thursday is 2 to 4 o'clock.
Right. So
we should go 11 to 1.
Yeah. Maybe 11 to 1.
Yeah.
I'll come for a little.
All right. Well, we'll announce it on Patriots.com. Thanks for listening.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Jerod Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices.